much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, folks. Welcome to our show. If I had known it was Casual Wednesday, I'd have left my jacket backstage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Level test, 1, check, check, 2, hot mic, 2, you know, ha 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 ha, woo, check, 1, 2, blah, 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 check, 1, 2, check, 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 1, 2, check, check, 1, 2, hot mic, check, 1, 2,
check,
1, 2,
done,
check, 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 check.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared for that?
Now, have you ever had any experience with being funny?
I must say I don't care much for your insinuation or your tone.
And now,
please open up. We have a warrant. Just kidding. It's us. Ha, we got you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 9th of October, and it's 5:33.
I don't feel like we're getting enough Halloween spooks in our October,
I feel like we're getting too
way.
Much. First of
doesn't
all.
Doesn't no, it seem like Bean.
Every day it seems like the show ends and there was no Halloween spooks again. I don't know what's going on, but we got to get to that.
We'll try really hard today.
Okay, I hope so. Yeah. I know we have a busy show, so it might be tough, but I want to start with big news for people who are excited every year when the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog comes out. Finally arrived yesterday afternoon.
That ridiculous catalog.
I don't know any of those people. It's fascinating to see some of the ridiculously high-priced items.
Well, I think it's interesting what they come up with every year because that's the goal. Yeah, that's what makes the headlines is the crazy expensive stuff that they come up with. Much of the catalog, by the way. In fact, it's a 175-page catalog this year. There are over 500 suggested gifts in the catalog. 40% of them are priced at under $250. So it's not like it's just a book full of crazy things that nobody can afford. There's actually some regular people stuff, too.
Okay.
But that's not what makes the headlines. Let's see what they got this year. The one that you will love, Kevin, when you win the lottery, I guarantee you get this, is an outdoor entertainment system. It's a giant screen television that's in an underground storage bunker. And then you hit a button and it emerges and opens up and turns into a 201-inch TV
what?
That you can see from anywhere. You use an iPad as a remote. And it's just got the giant speakers and everything like that. All comes up out of the ground. So if you want to be outside, you're having a, you know, having a party, or you want to watch TV in the pool, or just outside because it's nice. You have this giant movie screen in your backyard that lives underground,
and that's under $250.
Let me see how much that goes for. Oh, it's $1.5 million.
Ah, oh, so close.
That's just $1.5 million. That's a pretty sweet deal, though, right?
Can you imagine?
I mean, that's awesome.
It's a cool thing. I don't know. Deal to me means the money's taken into account.
Right.
Sounds awesome.
Plus, in the middle of the day, you can't really see it, right?
You can see it in the brightest sunshine.
Really?
I mean, it's the
now
best.
Now I'm interested.
Change your
it's
mind?
It's the best TV ever made.
Okay. $1.5 million then, Lisa.
All right.
Here's a, this is an oddball item that I'm not sure I understand. It's a falconry companion set. This is for people who do the falcons, the bird stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. It has a gold-plated perch, exotic skin falcon hoods, along with outdoor furniture, lead crystal decanters, and cigars. The set, no bird included, sells for $150,000.
I'm sorry, cigars?
Yes. This is high-end.
Smoke cigars?
I don't think so. I think this is for people who want to sit outside and play with their birds or watch their birds fly or whatever
enjoy
it is.
Their hawks.
Yes. Enjoy their hawks. Exactly. Yeah.
What a bizarre thing.
Here's the diamond experience. This includes a trip to the London office of the De Beers Diamond Specialist, a meeting with a craftsman to watch them cut and polish gems, a session with a jewelry designer to create a setting. Oh, a visit to Africa, where your diamond is mined. The diamond you also get.
Oh, wait a minute. So you have to watch a little kid with one arm down there chipping away to get your diamond?
You get a 25-carat rough diamond in the diamond experience, by the way. And then everything else is learning the back history of it and helping the craftsman design it and polish it and set it and everything like that. So you end up with the ring you want. You also get lunch with the crown jewels at the Tower of London. It's only $1.85 million.
That is a bargain. Think about that. The crown jewels, and you get to go to Africa.
Well, yeah, you get Africa.
You don't get the crown jewels. You know that, right? You just eat lunch with them.
Yeah.
25-carat diamond, though. A couple more, again, from the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. Here's a few that are a little bit more affordable. Here's a hand-built Indian Larry motorcycle, which I guess must be a big brand name because it sells for $750,000.
Wow.
For a motorcycle. Here's an Aston Martin Vanquish Volante. They're making 10 of them. They don't make them anymore, but they're making 10 just for the Neiman Marcus catalog. They're expected to sell very quickly, by the way. A lot of car collectors out there. Adam Carolla will probably buy one.
Sure. Mm.
They go for $344,500. Mm. Apparently, Prince Charles has a 1969 version of this car, by the way, and that's it's very popular this year because Kate and William drove off in it after their wedding.
Oh, well, then everybody would want it.
And two more. A $30,000 splurge buys an overnight stay for two at the famed Glass House in New Canaan, Connecticut. It's designed by a famous architect named Philip Johnson. It's completely, all the walls are glass. And you also get a famed chef, and you can have 10 people over and have dinner and spend the night there. $30,000, by the way, to spend one night in the house with dinner.
So $30,000. If all the walls are glass, then you could see from your bedroom, you could see somebody in the other bedroom changing.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
And you
That's
invite
right.
30 then of you your invite... best looking friends.
Exactly. Yes. Supermodel time.
See?
Right.
And there's a limited edition Jeff Koons sculpture called Don Perignon's Balloon Venus that can be yours for just $20,000. Jeff Koons, by the way, very popular in the news right now because he did a statue for Lady Gaga's album cover that's coming out next week as well. So he did a statue of Lady Gaga. So there you go. There's your there's some highlights from the catalog, Neiman Marcus Christmas book. If you want to get your $1.5 million check together for the giant outdoor movie screen, you're set.
This might surprise you. I haven't started thinking about Christmas gifts yet.
Well, apparently you're behind because the catalog's out. That means it's time.
That hurts. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, my God, this is real. I just assumed you were lying.
We have Noel Biederman. Talking about Ashley Madison.
Mm-hmm.
The people love him.
Yeah,
they
yes,
sure
they do.
That's what I found out. There is a company that is offering free sex toys for government employees who have been...
Furloughed?
Furloughed, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, right?
There's a positive side to some otherwise down news.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean, on today's show.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir? Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have in-studio Rob Zombie talking about his new maze for Halloween. Which is going to be awesome, the Great American Nightmare. And we have Steve Aoki in studio as well.
That's right.
Tell us about working with Linkin Park. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Another day, more chances for you to go see 30 Seconds to Mars coming up on Saturday, October 12th. Hey, that's this Saturday, by the way.
Yes, it is.
At the Hollywood Bowl, and then on Monday at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock, we're going to be giving away tickets to both a couple different times this morning, so keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and get more details at krock.com. It's Ralph Garman time at 5:51. Hey, Ralph.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner, everyone.
Yes.
Bruce Jenner.
Yay! I'm with you.
I couldn't be happier. Couldn't be happier. Bruce Jenner seems to me like just a decent fella.
Wait, he got away?
And for 22 years, he's been putting up with that succubus Kris Jenner, and it's official now. There's been rumors about this for some time, but they released a statement yesterday saying they are calling it quits after 22 years of wedded bliss. Bruce made it out. He made it over the wall.
Wow.
God,
I never thought he was going to get out.
By all accounts, Bruce Jenner is a simple guy with simple needs and wants and just wants to be happy and just live a life and just enjoy himself.
He's been surrounded by nonsense.
Surrounded by that drama and that BS and that boozy whore of a wife of his pimping out her kids. And he just must have been so filled up with the blackness that comes from their hearts that he just said, enough! I can bear no more!
How did he last so long?
I have
no
idea.
He's just waiting for the kids to finally get into high school and get old enough?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe now that... chlamydia and kryptonite are finally old enough. You know, they've got their own careers. They're in high school. They're modeling and stuff. And mom is selling them to the highest bidder. And he said, I got to go. Maybe it was the fact that while he was undergoing surgery for skin cancer, his wife was banging Joe Francis on his private island in Mexico or wherever she was. And I don't know. There's any number of things. I think that finally added up to him severing ties with that family. But I'm just filled with happiness for him. It's like when you've got a friend who's been in surgery, you know, has a giant cancerous tumor inside of them, and you get the news that they got in there and they got it all, and he's on his way to recovery, and he's out, and he's healthy, and you're like, oh,
it's free of all that darkness.
Yes.
Oh,
so
this is probably literally the happiest week of his life. Like this is a better week for him than the year he won all those gold medals.
Oh, absolutely. He would give those gold medals back in a heartbeat. So, it's just great news.
It's like the hostages have been freed. Like this is one of those Iran things.
You think I'm kidding, but I'm genuinely happy and sort of joyful for him. It just seems like such a good thing to happen to a seemingly nice guy.
Yeah.
And on the other side of it, everything just seems to be just crashing down around those evil people.
All right.
And that makes me happy, too.
All right.
Great story. And these are kind of bolt stories. When somebody looks at a series of photographs and they get one of these body language experts to chime in on what they view.
Right.
And I guess there's something to it, but for the most part, it's just their guess is as good as yours. But one of the tabloids did it regarding pictures of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Right.
And her opinion was that they're obviously unhappy with each other.
Really?
Yeah. Looks like the honeymoon is over for those two, according to this specialist who said, you can tell by the way they lean apart from each other. You can tell by the look on Kim's face when they're together that they're not happy. That there's lots of physical signals that the honeymoon may be over for mom and dad of North. So, I'm hoping that's the case.
Or they just don't want to give too much PDA for the photographers to swarm around and take photos of.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to give them as boring a photo as possible in the few seconds in between the car and the building.
Yeah. Or they're genuinely unhappy.
That's possible, too.
Which is what I'm hoping for. Speaking of Kanye and Jimmy Kimmel, of course, have been famously battling each other on Twitter. But now they're going to face off mano a mano on tonight's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Is that right?
Yep. They're going to hash out why Kanye is so angry with Jimmy.
Oh, I can't wait.
They're going to get on stage together for the first time since this all busted and try to bury the hatchet.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race
it's not
war.
It's not a race war.
Race war's on, everybody.
No.
It's going down.
It's not going
it's down. Going
down. It's race not.
War. Come on.
No,
race war.
It's no race war. It's just two guys.
If you know
out.
Artists, there's only one thing you can say, yeah. give, or ask them when you see them.
All right,
there
ask?
Are two words.
Okay, what?
Thank you.
What? That's what you expect him to say, Kanye?
What if you don't like their music?
When someone comes up and says something like, I am a god, everybody says, who does he think he is? I just told you who I thought I was. A god. I just told you. That's who I think I am.
He's got a point.
It's going to be fun.
Somebody give Jimmy a weapon of some kind. Mm-hmm. This is our chance. This is going back in the time machine and killing Hitler. What would you do? And the other Kardashian, Khloe, apparently she may be mourning the death of her marriage as well, but looks like she may have a new fella.
How? How does that happen?
Well, he's been friends with her and Lamar for some time. It's The Game. Rapper The Game.
Hmm.
She apparently has been crying on his shoulder through this whole ordeal with Lamar, and according to friends, he's been a great friend to her, very supportive, but he's definitely been waiting in the wings just in case things fall through with Lamar and Khloe. He wants to step in and be her next baby daddy or whatever.
Is he a big tall guy?
He is,
by
sir.
Any chance,
yes.
Him? Okay, good. Because you need that if you're
oh, yeah, yeah. You know, Sasquatch much find his own.
Right. Because that was the beauty of Lamar, is that she looked like a normal-sized girl when she was around him, because
that's
he's a basketball player.
What's going on television? What's happening? What are these shows that are coming up? It's
Ask Lisa.
Pretty broad
question.
Yeah,
what do you
Here's
mean?
Another show Lisa will be watching.
Okay.
Steve Carell is developing a show for Fox. Now, at first blush, that seems like encouraging news.
Definitely.
Right. Love Steve Carell.
Sure.
I think anything he would be involved in would be entertaining. I would look forward to watching it. Not when I heard about the details of Slideshow.
Slideshow?
Yes. Slideshow is a competition show pitting two teams of celebrities against one another. It involves them doing challenges, including songs, dances, and sketches, all while trying to cope with a floor that has been tilted at 22 degrees.
What?
Yes, you
this
heard me.
Happening.
They will work on a floor that's at a 22-degree angle.
Right.
And they have to complete a series of challenges and compete against each other. And they will slide on the floor because it's at 22 degrees. And it's called slide show.
Do we also throw fruit at them while they're attempting to do it?
What's
or anything
happening?
Like that?
That's not a thing,
that's
Ralph.
A thing.
That's not a thing.
It's a thing.
Nobody sat around in that meeting and said, hey, why?
Here's the thing. If you walk in with that idea instead
right.
of Steve Carell,
yeah.
they literally punch you in the balls.
Yeah. And they should.
And do not validate your parking at that right. meeting and send you on your way. So we may be watching that at some time soon.
Wow.
Slideshow.
Producer Dave says that Oh Sid is starting to sound like the golden age of television now.
that's true. I want to move to Norway. I want to watch the five-hour knitting show now rather than slideshow.
Right. Because at least they're on a level floor. It's a minimum. We're just asking for a minimum
floor.
Now.
Okay, do this stuff and do it on a tilted floor.
What?
That's genius. It's not genius. It's the opposite of genius.
It's genius.
Today's celebrity...
At least on Steve-O's crazy stunt show, you were over a shark tank or
That's
something
right.
like that. I mean, there was something exciting happening.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brandon Routh. He is 34 years old today. He, of course, played Superman famously in Superman Returns, which is
He was
not,
a bad Superman, right?
Not a success. Well, he was a good Superman, but the film around him wasn't very good. Bryan Singer's Superman film was not very good. I always felt bad for Brandon Routh because I thought he had a lot of good stuff going for him. He was very Christopher Reeve-esque and sort of had a good vibe, good actor. He just got dealt about a bad hand.
Why do you suppose he's not gone on to do anything after that high-profile launch, though, Ralph?
He's worked a bunch, but nothing very high-profile or successful.
Right. Okay.
He was very good in my buddy Kevin Smith's movie Zack and Miri Make a Porno. He was very entertaining in that. He's done a bunch of TV and film work since. Nick Swardson is 37 years old today. Singer PJ Harvey celebrates her 44th birthday. Guillermo del Toro, very talented director that Kevin once chased down in a men's room. It was very entertaining to watch. 49 years old today. Scott Bakula. Bleh! I am Scott Bakula. Bleh!
I think you're confused there. You're confused there.
Scott Bakula, look into nothing, my eyes. I want to suck your blood.
Nope.
I'm Scott Bakula.
Nope. Nothing to do with the vampires at all.
But it's the Halloween season.
Right.
Scott Bakula is 59 years old today. Tony Shalhoub celebrates his 60th birthday. And Sharon Osbourne, TV personality, manager, all-around good gal. Please don't threaten us, Ozzy. She is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
It was fun to catch up with our STP buddies, wasn't it? The
yes,
DeLeo
it was.
Brothers, Eric, Chester Bennington. New music sounds really, really good. Got a couple of musicians on today's Kevin and Bean Show 42, including our friend Rob Zombie. Also, Steve Aoki stopped by. One of the most popular DJs in the world. He'll be with us here in the 9 o'clock hour. He has a major concert announcement for us. First, though, who's ready for bunghole talk?
Oh, I didn't realize this was going to become a new feature, but I am.
Bunghole talk. First up, President Lyndon Baines Johnson. Now, we played some of this tape for you last year, but LBJ is back in the news, as Ralph was telling us in the Showbiz Beat this week, that that Bryan Cranston is going to be taking his LBJ play that is currently on stage in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to Broadway, and it's going to be the hot ticket.
Now, when was he president? Mid-60s?
Yes, from 1963 to 1969, right?
Right.
So he's president, and this particular tape was just released last year. This was from the archives, the Lyndon Baines Johnson archives. They release tapes of things that are recorded on the presidential phone in the Oval Office at the White House.
Why can they not release things? No, honestly, because why would you decide to release this?
I think eventually everything gets released.
All
right. I think it all gets saved and it all goes into the permanent record. Right. So it's August 9th, 1964, and the reason we're this phone call happens at 1:17 in the afternoon, by the way. There's your detail. The reason we're excited is because apparently this phone call did make it into the Bryan Cranston LBJ play. So if you go see that play on Broadway, you're going to see the president talking about his nuts and about his bunghole.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't it right? It's great. He's on the phone with the leader of the Hagar Clothing Company. Now, Lisa, they're still around, right? They still make pants,
yes,
I think,
they
right?
do.
He's on the phone with them, and he wants some custom-made pants. And I'll just play a couple of minutes for you. And you're just going to be amazed when you think how many things – Vietnam is going on. How many things are going on that the president could be spending his time on?
Yeah.
And he's spending this much time on getting some pants made.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hello. Mr. Hager?
Yes, it's Joe Hager.
Joe, is your father the one that makes clothes?
Yes, sir. We're all together.
Y'all made me some real lightweight slacks. He just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light green, rather soft green and soft brown. And they're real lightweight. Now, I need about 6 pairs for summer wear. I want a couple of, maybe 3 of the light brown, kind of a almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face. Then there was some green.
Okay, now I know what you're thinking, Kevin. Isn't there anyone else who works in the White House who could be handling this job?
First of all, he should be doing something else. Second of all, don't they have somebody to handle this?
There has to be a tailor.
Right.
Wouldn't you think some guy would come in and one time he would come in like every couple of years and he would take the president's measurements while he's on the phone and he would go off and get all of his clothes made?
This sounds like it's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. It sounds like a crank call almost. It's cold calling some company saying, hey, I need some new pants. It's crazy.
You know what it sounds like to me is the kind of conversation you would overhear your grandpa having.
Right.
Like it's that kind of minutia that grandpa would be taking
but
care of.
But you said what, 1:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah, this is 1:17 p.m. on August 9th, 1964. Yeah, this is what the president's got going on.
And then maybe some other light pair. If you had a blue in that or black, I'd have one blue and one black. I need about 6 pairs to wear around in the evening when I come in from work. I want them 1/2 inch larger in the waist than they were before, except I want 2 or 3 inches of stuff left back in there so I can take them up. I vary 10 to 15 pounds a month. So leave me at least 2.5 to 3 inches in the back where I can let them out or take them up.
All right, hold on.
And put it, make-
Is that extreme, varying 10
yes.
to 15 pounds in a month?
That seems like a lot.
What the hell is going on?
Muggs, you go up 10 to 15 pounds a month, don't you?
30 pounds a month. Actually.
You don't go down, though. Is no,
yeah, that's the thing. You only go up.
By the way, who knows this? What guy knows this much about the dimensions of his pants? Who knows enough about tailoring to make requests like this? I sure don't.
Yeah, I wouldn't
either. I wouldn't know how to describe any of the stuff that the president's so familiar
but,
with.
But having said that, how awesome would it be if you could just call somebody and go, here's what I want?
Yeah. Well, he's obviously had pants made for him
before,
so he does know something about this.
But isn't he going, I mean, I know that the gentleman on the other end of the phone is a Hagar, he's in the pants business, but it seems like the president is zipping through a lot of details that you're expected to keep straight. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, instantly manufacture what he's saying. I'd be confused at this point. All right, we're still working up toward nuts.
And make these 1/2 inch bigger in the waist. Make the pockets at least 1 inch longer. My money and my knife, everything fall out. Wait just a minute.
By the way, I love that the president carries a knife.
Me too. And it just falls out. He's walking around the White House or wherever, and he just drops his knife.
I do.
What's going on with this?
I don't think that happens much anymore. You don't really see President Obama with a knife.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me 1 inch that I can let out there. Because they cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence. These are the best.
By the way, that's a nice Texas expression, isn't it?
Riding
a wire fence.
That he has to explain where the crotch is.
Can you imagine, too, like he's in a meeting and all of a sudden he gets his nuts get cut. I mean, how do you focus on anything?
Excuse me, I have an emergency. My nuts are cut.
That's right. That's crazy.
These are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States. But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So leave me. You never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about 1 inch from where the zipper is.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
We have burpage.
That is great.
Isn't that awesome?
If you were on the phone, look, I know they probably hook it up through, a security line and somebody calls you and says you're going to be talking to the president. But once he starts talking about his nuts, don't you go, somebody's pranking me.
Yes.
That's crazy.
And Joe Hager, I mean, he's the guy on the other end of the phone with the president. He sounds like he's taking it all pretty well, but he should be freaking out right now. He should be like making hand signals to all of his family members, like, you're not going to believe who I'm talking to. You're not going to believe what he just said. All right, we're in the final 45 seconds or so here. We're still working toward bunghole.
An inch from where the zipper ends, around under my back to my bunghole.
Yeah!
So I can let it out there if I need to. Now, be sure you got the best zippers in them. These are good that I have. And if you get those to me, I would sure be grateful.
I love, by the way, we don't have time to hear much more, but I love that he goes into detail about the pants and about the cut. Then he goes into the zippers. Then he goes into talking about how he wants to get some shirts made. And then they discuss whether the material, there's enough material, you know, the material is too heavy to wear as a shirt. Then he talks about making jackets. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And you're thinking, hey, Mr. President, America.
Isn't anything happening?
Remember, America. Us. The end of the call, by the way, he hands off to his assistant to get the, you know, address details and everything like that. By the way, the address is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Sure.
But he says, I got to go to a funeral. So this was the call that he squeezed in on a busy day when he was heading out to a funeral.
Hey, I got to go to a funeral in a second, but can you work on my bunghole?
USA!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:39.
I watched some of President Obama's press conference yesterday where he said once again that it's the Republicans' fault that the government is shut down. And then John Boehner came out and said, no, it's the president's fault the government shut down. And neither side seems to be doing anything. It seems like the government shutdown is never going to end.
All right. Good work.
So that's happening. And what about all those people? There are some departments in the government that have like 90% of their people laid off. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people who aren't showing up for work right now. What are they doing with all of their time? Is this just free vacation time for them? Are they eventually going to get paid when they do go back to work and we will have just given them lots of days off?
I think the plan is that they get back pay. I think.
I don't know, to be honest.
Sounds like a win. Mm. Well, we heard a story recently that there was a free small popcorn. If you go to AMC, if you're a government employee, you go to the AMC movie chain, you get a free popcorn as you watch a movie because you got all this time off. And now there's another story in the news that I think people will be interested in. Vibrators.com is giving away 200 vibrators every day to government employees during the shutdown.
Well, they do have time.
They certainly do have time. The promotion, which began last Friday, started with 400 vibrators given away over the course of the weekend. And every day they get they're filling out orders of a couple of hundred before noon. So apparently people are hearing about it and taking advantage of it and going, hey, that sounds like fun, right?
Now they'll never go back to work.
So we wanted to find out more about this promotion and why they're doing it and how it all works. So we asked producer Dave, could you line somebody up for us? The president of Vibrators.com is named Tom Nardone. Mr. Nardone, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, sir.
How you doing there? It's good to talk to you guys. It's Nardone, by the way.
Nardone. Sorry.
Oh,
I apologize. I didn't realize that.
That's okay. Sometimes people don't know things, you know?
Sure, yeah. So where'd this brainstorm come from to give away free vibrators to government employees?
Well, we feel bad for these people. You know, until they get back to work, they're going to be, you know, struggling to pay their bills and things. You know, both sides have been said everybody's got to, you know, oh, what about jobs? What about the middle class? You know, but the government, you know, employs a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then these people are out of work, and these guys are talking about jobs, and then these people are out of work.
The government is the largest employer in the United States.
See, so that's what I'm talking about, like the thing you just said.
Right. So you feel like this will burn up for the ladies. This will burn up maybe 15, 20 minutes a day. At least it'll make the day pass a little faster.
Hey, hold on there. I got to slam your brakes on right there, my friend.
Okay.
All right. It's not just the ladies. Fellas can enjoy sex toys as well, okay, at vibrators.com. We got something for everybody.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. I thought you were just dealing with vibrators. No, it's other toys as well.
Hey, listen to me, my friend. Let me tell you something, my friend, okay?
All right.
A vibrator feels good on other parts of the body besides the female genitalia, my friend. So if you're a fella, you can put it to places and say, hey, that feels pretty good there, right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
Guess I hadn't thought of that,
no,
Tom.
No, you hadn't thought of that. See, there's things people don't think of right there.
So what are the – do people get to go onto the website and then choose their sex toy, or do you just randomly send one out to them? They don't know what they're going to get until they open the box.
Originally, the program started, you know, we had some ideas for, you know, giveaways that would be, you know, funny at the expense of those that are causing this shutdown, you know, these governmental types, these senators and what have you. But, you know, we thought maybe free penis pumps for the senators, maybe. That'd be a good idea.
Right.
Or maybe a half-off deal on enemas. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You know, get things moving again.
Right.
Yeah. We went with the vibrator that we give away often with an order of over a certain amount of dollars on the site. You get a free vibrator. These are the ones that we initially started giving out. That's this one. That's the... Yeah, that's a good one right there. Huh? Is that working for you?
Well, I mean, it sounds...
Just hold your radio up to your junk. You'll see it happens. It's pretty good for you.
Now, Lisa, do you recognize that one by its sound?
It could be one of two, to be honest.
This ain't no cheap vibrator either. It's a good one right there. You know, it's not too powerful. It's just powerful enough.
Right.
That's all you really need. It's okay. A good wand. It's a good wand, I'm telling you.
A good wand. Okay, good. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's everything so successful. You know, people are coming to vibrators.com. Once again, that's vibrators.com.
Right.
And they're coming by and they're getting their free vibrators. And, you know, we thought we made, open up the program a little bit, add some additional toys for people to enjoy themselves.
Okay, like what?
Like this one. Yeah.
What? Now, well, how does that work?
That's for the fellas.
Right.
Yeah. That's called the female page. That's a governmental pun there. You know, a lot of pages work there in the Congress and whatever. And,
right.
I see.
See, it starts, it goes up, and then she goes down.
Down, right.
I understand. Yeah.
All right.
We got this one, too.
What the hell is that?
That's a bionic vibrator right there. That's a bionic vibrator. It's half man, half machine.
That sounds like you can do some damage with that.
Oh, yeah, that'll wreck you.
Yeah.
If you're not careful with it. There you go. What else I got? This one?
It sounds like a chainsaw or a weed whacker.
Yeah, it's a chainsaw. That's right. We're giving away sex toys that are chainsaws. What the hell's wrong with you, fella there? What are you thinking, my friend?
I don't know. What is it?
It's a chainsaw. You're right. You got it there. But some people are kinky. I don't know what to tell you. They got this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that one shoots lasers out of it.
That's not sexy.
A lady puts it in her private parts and lasers shoot out.
Wow.
It's rejuvenation as well as pleasurable. That's all. It tightens everything up there. That's all. It's like a plastic surgery thing, only it's lasers.
Doesn't sound like something an amateur should really be able to use on her body, a laser. I don't know.
Well, no, it's for a more advanced sex toy connoisseur. That's all I'm telling you, my friend. This one's good also.
Oh, now what's that?
That one's called the Filler Buster. Because it fills her, and then it busts her. Oh.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
I'm just going to go out and say that Noel Biederman is the most popular and best-loved man on the Internet. You guys agree?
Well, some people may have a problem with him.
I've not seen any.
I don't.
He's the founder and chief.
Doing a service, that's all.
A founder and chief executive officer of AshleyMadison.com, and he joins us in studio coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, their first member, Ralph Garman, joins us.
How dare you, sir.
With the Showbiz Beat.
I was cheating way before Ashley Madison. Come on, for God's sake.
You don't need the stupid internet to cheat.
That's right. That's kids lean on the technology. I did it old school way. Back alleys. Dumpsters.
Oh, dumpsters. Nothing better.
Hookers, singles bars. You know, old school. This just keeps getting better. This Chris and Bruce Jenner split. You know, I said it earlier. I'm just so thrilled for Bruce Jenner that he is finally getting off of Alcatraz Island, which is what I think being with that family must be like. Must be like just a prison you thought there was no escape from. Now, after 22 years, with a spoon, he has dug himself a tunnel. It's like a Shawshank Redemption. He has tunneled his way out of that prison. Now he's a free man.
It's like Nelson Mandela getting released.
That's right. Bruce Jenner was my friend. You're like, just doing Morgan Freeman all day long, talking about how he got behind that poster and just got out of there. But it just gets better. Not only has Bruce got his freedom, but here's the sweetest part of their marriage. No prenup for these two. No prenuptial agreement between Chris and Bruce Jenner. That means Bruce is about to slice himself off a piece of a $125 million fortune.
Whoa.
That Chris has amassed by selling her children.
Wow.
So Chris Jenner's going to have to give up half of all the money. Come on.
USA!
Pretty great, right?
USA! USA!
She didn't have any money when she married Bruce. She probably figured, I'm not going to have a prenup. I want to cash in on some of that Wheaties money.
I'm going to take his.
That's right. He's going to probably sign autographs for $20 a pop at the Olympicon or whatever it is he does now.
Or they won't recognize him.
Right. And then she hoard out her kids and made all this money. And now Bruce is the one who has to be taken care of in the style in which he has become accustomed.
I hope our little friend divorce attorney, Laura Wasser, is helping him out here.
Oh, come on, Laura. Do the right thing. Call Bruce up and just say, this one's on me, American hero. Yeah, it's good stuff.
look, I don't know what to think about this. You tell me.
All right.
Because I'm a Beatles fan. Always have been, always will be. I know, Kevin, you don't care.
I don't.
For them. Bean, I know you're a Beatles fan. But even as a Beatles fan, don't you at some point have to say, enough about the freaking Beatles?
Well, most people get to that point, yeah.
I am surprised that new material seems to be unearthed, and there's new photographs, and there's new incarnations, and they figure out new ways to kind of package and sell the image and the Broadway plays and everything. It seems like it never goes away, that's for sure.
There's a new book out by a so-called Beatles expert named Mark Lewison, who is
he's a big name in Beatle books. He's an expert.
Well, he's written a new one called The Beatles All These Years, Volume 1, Tune In. It is almost 1,000 pages in length. It's the first volume of a 3-volume set that he's written.
What?
The first book, this first volume, it ends with 1962. So it's 1,000 pages of what the Beatles did up until 1962. They didn't burst into the national consciousness until 1964.
So really, it's before they did anything.
It's them just hanging out in Liverpool drinking beer, I'm guessing, for 1,000 pages.
Well, they were popular in Britain, remember, before America. But yeah, you're right. That's the very, very early years of their career.
1,000-page book!
Yeah, that's a lot of, words.
Unless you order the author's cut, which is twice that length.
What?
The book comes out on October the 29th. Listen, again, I'm a Beatles fan. Enough. This guy says, I will dispel many rumors, like the fact that Paul McCartney and John Lennon first met on June 6, 1957 at a church fair in Liverpool. Who cares?
Exciting story.
So for Beatles fans,
wow,
you can pick that up for your Christmas. This is a creepy story. This CeeLo Green date rape story?
It's still going
around.
No.
You hadn't heard about
no.
this? Yeah. Los Angeles Police Department is investigating and may prosecute CeeLo Green for date rape. Last year, a woman accused him of slipping ecstasy into her drink at a sushi restaurant. She claimed she blacked out, woke up the next day, naked, in a hotel room, with CeeLo Green standing over her. Still trying to touch her with those little crocodile arms. Couldn't reach her. Never reached her. She was there and just couldn't touch her. The woman says she has a recording of CeeLo apologizing after the fact and mentioning the MDMA, that's Molly or liquid ecstasy, that he used.
Ecstasy knocks people out?
Maybe in this form. I don't know much about MDMA or Molly, but apparently if you use enough, or I guess whatever.
I don't either. I mean, I'm just saying it knocks you out.
What do you usually use, Kevin, when you dose your victims?
I know nothing about that.
Apparently the cops are still investigating. The final report should be turned into the district attorney this week to see whether they proceed with charges or not. But it's creepy on so many levels.
Yeah.
Imagine you're there, you wake up naked in a hotel room, and then chair whizzes around, and there's CeeLo Green there, and he's punching that button.
He's trying to reach the button. He can't punch it.
It'd be very disturbing. And have you seen the video that they set up to prank people at that coffee shop to publicize the movie Carrie?
Yep.
How phenomenal is that?
That's pretty
strong. It is brilliantly executed. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it's they set up this fake coffee shop. And they rig the entire coffee shop to make it look as if this girl, this actress who plays a girl just having a cup of coffee, has telekinetic powers, is able to move things with her mind. Guy spills coffee on her computer, and she freaks out and throws him against the wall. And then she moves all the tables with a wave of her hand, and books and pictures start flying off of the shelves and the walls.
And he's somehow going up the wall against gravity. This is awesome.
And then, you know, people would come in to get a cup of coffee, and they would put on this little act for them. Over and over again, and they recorded all the reactions of the people. There are some hilarious reactions.
And by the way, our reaction, if it had happened to us, if we were the victims in the coffee shop, would be exactly
Absolutely.
The same. It would blow your freaking mind if this unfolded in front of you.
You can't blame these people at all for how they react, especially when the books start flying off the shelves and they just tear ass out of that coffee shop into the streets screaming. But if you haven't checked it out yet, you can find it online. It's a publicity stunt for the upcoming remake of the movie Carrie, and it's very entertaining, so you want to check it out.
I'm surprised that what I was expecting, Ralph, is that more people would pull out their phones and start videoing it, which is what seems like happens everywhere in the world now when something interesting happens.
But I think that is for normal stuff. If you see a car crash, if you see a fight or whatever, you pull out your phone.
Right.
I think something like that happens, you are just in such sheer terror and shock that you're not thinking anything but self-preservation and where can I change my underwear? Those are your first two thoughts.
Producer Dave, will you tweet that video out we're talking about from the at Kevin and Bean, please, so people can see that, because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's getting
that's so cute.
Tons
of traction. You think he's listening?
Oh,
I'm too sleepy. I also want to give people a heads up. A lot of people about Hollywood Babylon have complained that Friday nights aren't good for them, their work or whatever. So we're doing a Saturday night show this week for people who
Keep it moving.
Been bitching and moaning about Friday nights. Look, every once in a while, we're going to throw in a Saturday.
I just was starting to remember that it was on Friday nights.
Now it's Saturday. The show this week will be Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. If you you work on Friday nights, a lot of people in the service industry do, and you have a Saturday night off and you want to come see us, go to improv.com.
No.
And then you can see Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith this Saturday night at 10 p.m.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 7 a.m. till noon.
Yep, Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
And then next week, Sunday at 4 p.m.
No, just are you saying yes, 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 you will be there?
Oh.
Improv.com. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays. Sharon Osbourne, 61. Tony Shalhoub is 60. Scott Bakula celebrates his 59th birthday today. Guillermo del Toro. He's 49 years old. PJ Harvey turns 44. Nick Swardson? He's 37 years old. Brandon Routh turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
He is back, ladies and gentlemen. The most hated man on the internet, the king of infidelity, our friend Noel Biederman, founder and chief executive officer of AshleyMadison.com. Oh, hey, how's it going, buddy?
You're too kind. You're too kind. I think last I was here, a lot fewer members, but a lot more hair I had. You know?
Yeah, well, that's how it goes.
Well, it's a stressful job running a multi-million dollar company, I would imagine. You probably have a tough job, right?
Yeah, you know, I just got back from our launch into China and Japan, believe it or not. What was interesting over there, what I kind of enjoyed was, you know, that absence of that Judeo-Christian kind of morality conversation, they were much more fascinated with the economics. You make how much money?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because they make like 5 cents a day.
No, I think some people do. No. I think there's also a ton of wealth being created over there, right? That is a region in transition. So
does this does the idea of this translate well to other cultures?
Yeah, I think uniquely, right? If you and I were going to build a traditional dating company where people fall in love, you know, building in India, we'd have to include parents. Building it in China,
right,
we'd have to have an economic part to the equation.
Right.
It doesn't work the same way as it does in America. But infidelity, it's pretty universal, right? Both genders, every socioeconomic class, older guys, younger people, it really crossed everyone. We have a chance to become the biggest dating service on the planet. That's really the opportunity.
For people who don't hate you, explain to them Ashley Madison.
So that they will hate you.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm really a humanitarian. I'm a man who said, oh my goodness, all these married people are pretending to be single on singles dating sites. Why don't I give them a platform of their own? That was the idea behind it.
Start there, though, first of all. Is that most people? What's the percentage do they guess or do you guess are married people who are on singles dating sites?
Well, I think I've eradicated. If you had the CEO of Match.com sitting beside me or other, I think they would say, you know, thank goodness Noel came along. Like, I think it helped people find a platform more appropriate for them. Ours is now pure. Ours is now full of purely single people. I think it was a problem prior to the creation of Ashley Madison. Today, I can't imagine why you would say and pretend to be single on that service, risk all of that. It just doesn't seem to me when you have literally 22 million people on my service putting their hands up saying, yeah, I'm happy to have an affair with you. It seems like one is full of friction, one is frictionless.
That makes a lot of sense.
You need a little friction, by the way.
I don't get paid for that kind of friction. I get paid for the communication part of it, right?
How many countries are you in now, Noel?
30 countries, 11 languages, right?
Wow.
And it's the fastest growing dating service on the planet. So,
and how many members?
To me, 22 million.
22
being
million.
Being handed that with so from. Congratulations to me.
He deserves it.
Oh, look, sweet.
Are you?
I
are
snuck
you?
That. In. You did. I snuck that in. That way they thought it was you. I tried to use your voice.
Hey guys, aren't I great? Seriously, look at me. How long has this service been around?
You know, it's not an overnight sensation. I spent 5 years slogging it out, building this product, trying to figure out how to make it discreet so you weren't billed under Ashley Madison, how you could put your photos under lock and key, how you could erase any messages or images you shared over time, you know, if you wanted to pretend like this never happened, that type of thing. So 5 years to get to the first million members, but in 2007, it took off like a rocket ship. It really did. I don't know if it was the economic times. You know, infidelity is funny. It's not just a recession-proof business. It grows in economic difficulty. You know, when there's marital discord around home economics, people look to feel better about themselves. They do it a bunch of ways. They have affairs. That's one of them.
So congratulations to me.
You've been around so long and have done such a great marketing job and have done so many radio and television shows like ours that you're mainstream now. I mean, there you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who lives in the modern world who doesn't know about what Ashley Madison is. But in the early days, did you face a lot of blowback from internet service providers who didn't want to allow you on their service or people who wouldn't let you advertise?
Oh, I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. You would have thought that I was a drug pusher, right? That I was peddling. But yeah, it all changed. You know, last season finale on The Simpsons, Marge Simpson joined Sassy Madison. They didn't just make fun of the website. they made fun of our TV commercials. They went deep. They went on. That's when you know you've made it, you know, when The Simpsons, the modern day satirists do it. But it's true. Like I was always shocked, and maybe it was my naivety, about people like, you know, the NFL sitting here saying, no, we're a family product. I'm like, you're advertising Viagra and alcohol, which leads to disease addiction. I've been to games where people are punching each other in the face.
Yeah, that happens.
Every offseason, you got 30 guys arrested for God knows what. And this one's murdered this year. You're a family product? You can't handle an Ashley Madison ad? Give me a break. But that was the universe I kind of stepped into. And, you know, that's what's made it interesting for me as a CEO. I think that people say, oh, so easy. Any idiot could have made all that money, you know, starting an infidelity website. I got to tell you, it's been twice as hard as any other business I've ever tried to operate.
Now, does the NFL allow it now?
No.
Still no.
Their response remains the same. They are a family-focused product, and my brand does not match well with it. And I, you know, contend still that they are the furthest thing from a family.
Being introduced to you as the most hated man on the online, is that still the case? Or has that changed?
I have 22 stuff? Million fans, and then plus right. You guys, so 22 million plus, you know, plus what we'll call it four. But no, like I think the world is changing. I genuinely do. I have felt it. It's been a bit palpable to me, whether it's been the advertising opportunities that have opened up or the conversations I've had. I'm now working with the University of California, Duke University, University of Michigan. Those are all pretty prestigious universities who want to study our database. They want to look at why people have affairs. It turns out we're pretty ignorant on the topic, you know, right? Getting married for love is a pretty recent phenomenon.
I can answer. It's boobies. That's why.
Yeah, but I think it's
Bean's got a point.
It's interesting to find out that 39-year-old women cheat four times as often as their 38-year-old counterparts. That is an interesting piece of data for all of us married men out there who have 39-year-old wives, and we should be very sensitive around that time. It turns out they, too, have midlife crises. And so,
wait, is that the year that women
that is
cheat
the
most?
That is the deadly year. So,
how about that?
You know, we are in this for the business part of it. I'm an entrepreneur. But it turns out that the social anthropological element of it is part of what sustains me. It's really interesting data that I'm sharing, and I'm kind of the lone voice out there on it, but it's worth discussing, I think, anyways.
It is, absolutely.
I'd like a list of those 39-year-old women.
You can log in. You can log in. I'm sure there's a bunch of them knocking on the GQ just did a great spread. This writer went undercover, literally went undercover, and you know he kind of espoused the stories behind these six women on Ashley Madison. And
can
it was crazy.
Hold that thought, Neil, because that's a fascinating story. I definitely want to hear more about that. AshleyMadison.com, the world's premier dating site for people who are already married looking for something more. I know you hate them, but you can't stop listening. Noel Biederman is here. We'll return right after this on the Kevin Abeen Show. AshleyMadison.com is what we're talking about here this morning on the Kevin Abeen Show with our friend Noel Biederman. He is the founder and chief executive officer. Hey, before I let you finish your GQ story, which I'm fascinated with, if people are listening now, they want to check out the site. Is there some sort of a free introductory offer or time period or anything like that?
Only for you. Only for you.
I don't know if there was a deal or not.
No deals to be had. Not when it comes to infidelity. You make your bed. Right, you hide it, literally. But yeah, just the GQ story was interesting. So many people, when they've looked at my brand, have had to understand that my focus was on married women. I believe that men the world over had a ton of playgrounds, strip clubs, massage parlors. Even in some cities, you get into Sydney, you know, there's brothels right in the middle of King Cross there.
I'm sorry, where's that?
but it's to me, I think that the internet was going to be a leveling of the playing field, that women too were finding this monogamy void. They wanted passion back in their relationships. They weren't going to stand idle, not this generation of women anyways. And so that was my bet. I also figured that if I did it right, you know, for these women, men would queue out the door, right? And I think that's been a lot of our success. So this story follows around six interesting women in New York City using Ashley Madison, and they're talking about politicians they're betting down, athletes, entertainers. But, you know, the beautiful part from my perspective is I never know who's on my service. I always know those people, you know, are part of its habitat, but I don't know who they are individually. I think that's even it was
come on. You never check. You never just scroll through and look for some names. You might
remember
recognize.
You sign up anonymously, and the billing is done through this special engine. I don't even know who uses my own service. It could be my brother, and I wouldn't know.
Could be your wife.
Could be your wife.
Unfortunately, that is the one downside. I've tried to find a way to make sure that can never happen. But.
It does make headlines because we're grown up thinking, that, yeah, of course, men are going to cheat. They're more likely to cheat. And you're kind of turning the tables on that belief a little bit with your numbers on women. Are women looking for the same sorts of things that men are in affairs?
I don't think they're looking for what Anthony Weiner thinks they're looking for. You know, I don't think they're looking for, right. You know, for penis pics. I think that this university, I've been doing it wrong then. This University of California study, which was 100 pages, I will synthesize it down to three things. They are looking to fill a passion void.
Right.
It's their husband's fault. You know, men tend to blame themselves in their DNA. Women will uncategorically blame their husbands for not paying attention to them, not making love to them, all those things that they are looking for. And unfortunately, the sad part, I think this is what you're touching on, women who have affairs think that their sexual desire, they're abnormal, they're atypical. They think that there's something wrong with them, like to still want to be sexually active in their 30s and 40s. And that's craziness, right? That is just so much of why we're failing in this landscape of marriage right now. We don't even understand ourselves. There's not a lot of funding for sex research. There's certainly no significant studies on infidelity. They're just, you know, people who cheat don't put their hands up. You can't follow them around. And so we're just learning about all this now. And until we do, we're probably going to be really bad at being monogamous.
So your main focus is on women. And doesn't the hate come from women as well?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That is where I get so much of the pushback, right? I've literally been called the worst names in the world, you know, everything from Hitler of the internet to whatever ends up being. And it tends to be by women. But I think those are women who are incredibly insecure in their own relationships, right? And so it gives them an outlet to look at me and sit there and somehow believe that I can convince their partners to have an affair. You can't convince anyone to have an affair.
Right.
I can beg your listeners right now, come on, use my... If they're in a happy relationship, they're not. Now, on the other hand, if they're in a sexless relationship and for the last 20 weekends in a row, they haven't gotten any and they're fighting all the time, they might be thinking about it. So their choice is what? Have an affair in the workplace and risk their job or whatever, or on my service, that's where they're going to end up.
You wrote a book called Cheaters Prosper, How Infidelity Will Save the Modern Marriage. Is that the case for a lot of couples where the infidelity, maybe using AshleyMadison.com, turns out to be the best thing that ever happened to that couple?
You have a choice. You can believe me or Dr. Phil. That's how I see it. And
wow.
So my theory is...
I already discount Dr. Phil, so you win.
Yeah, no, my theory is that people have affairs so they want to stay married. You know, people confuse two things. There's a secret affair, which is what I think 90% of them end up being. People don't, and there's a discovered affair, which comes with a lot of rigmarole and some repercussions. But most affairs never get discovered. And people have affairs because they want to stay married. If they didn't want to stay married, they would just leave. They want to raise their kids together. They want to keep their house and share their economics and see their extended family. What they don't want to keep doing is sleeping with the same person. And so it's a tough one, right? But people want to have their cake and eat it too. That's why people have affairs. They have affairs to stay married.
They have a list of cities where people, what is it, people cheat the most in those cities?
Yeah, you know, if you look at a per capita instance, right, of anything, it can be, you know, where they drink coffee the most, whatever. There are certain cities that just stand out when it comes to affairs. They seem to be, you know, more akin to it. Cities like Washington, D.C. do foster more affairs. Maybe it's the environment or maybe it's the kind of people that get attracted to those towns.
But
right?
I was surprised by number one.
What's number one?
Phoenix.
Really?
You know, although it does explain why I have blonde hair and blue eyes and both of my brothers have brown hair and brown eyes.
I think
maybe there's something there.
I think there's something to a place like Phoenix, which is a pick up and move to kind of destination. A lot of people aren't native from Phoenix, right? It's just, and when you move yourself further and further from your own social network, your friends, you know, you fall into a different stream. And I think that's a lot of what's going on there. But yeah, we have a big mistress.
Come on, LA. We're only number five. Let's get with it.
I was just assuming that the Phoenix ones skewed towards the 60 and 70 year olds.
Well, that's very possible.
No, but that, you know, it's funny you say that. But again, when you look at the internet, you know, everyone talks about 20 year olds using this and Tinder, these great apps, all true. I cater to 40 and 50 year olds. I cater to that demographic that's who's using my service, which is atypical of an internet company.
Yeah.
Right. We're almost out of time here with our guest, Noel Biederman from AshleyMadison.com. You also run CougarLife.com, and I bring that up to say that there is an event that sounds like a lot of fun in Hollywood tonight at the Avalon. You have the Sex Awards. What are these all about, Noel?
This is, listen, we're apparently amateurs at this thing called sex. There are some, there are some professionals amongst us, and I think we tend to watch them on a whole bunch of websites. And millions and millions of fans and consumers have voted who their favorite actors and actresses are. And so this is going to be aired by Showtime down the road. It's the Sex Awards. And yeah, listen, Cougar Life, the reason older women date younger men is to have, you know, those kinds of sexual adventures. We thought it was a great sponsorship. I'm going to be there giving away an award. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun.
I'll never forget the one that I saw in Vegas, and I know we're out of time, so I'll tell it quickly. It was in Las Vegas. The AVNs were going on, adult video. And the woman that won Best Backdoor got up in a full gown and said, I want to thank my mom, who's here in the audience, because I wouldn't be here today without her.
These women dressed like this is, to them, right, make no mistake, this is their red carpet, this is their Academy Awards. Their gowns, they're wearing $10,000 gowns. It is a lot of fun. That's why Showtime shoots it. My understanding is millions and millions of people watch this on Showtime. They love this kind of content.
Well, it's going to be the Avalon in Hollywood tonight. Do you know if people can still attend in person?
Yeah, I think they can. Listen, the red carpet, and that's the other thing, same thing maybe you saw in Vegas, they line up, like tens of thousands of fans line up to get autographs, wow, to see these people and to see their, you know, their backdoor favorites.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I know Beer Mug has been bugging you for an account, so we'll get him signed up because I know he wants to get right on AshleyMadison.com.
Fair enough.
And who could blame him? Noel Biederman stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show. Always
Thanks
a pleasure,
so much,
sir.
Guys.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes until 8 o'clock.
What's happening? Who's yelling? Why?
They're just yelling in the other room. I don't think they knew we were coming to them yet.
Our good friend Rob Zombie in town. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his latest tour that he's got going on, his latest movie that he's making, and The Great American Nightmare. Wait till you hear about that out.
Blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Let's get to this.
That's it.
Tweet.
Bean.
Ralph, you love it. You love it.
What's going on? What's the problem here, pal?
You know, I've done a few things in my life that I'm proud of. Very few things.
Okay.
But one of them is the minute I got on Twitter, I made a point of blocking Bean. So I couldn't read his tweets. And yet here we are, once again, having to just to walk through the morass that is Bean's tweets.
We make Chip, unfortunately, and the other. We make her monitor. And then every once in a while, she comes in with a sly smile and says, yeah, thanks for that tweet,
Bean. We got a batch.
And it's on. Now, again, I'll say, nobody's ever always funny or interesting.
Yeah, but some people are sometimes.
Some people.
But some people aren't anytime.
Most of us try. At least that's our goal.
I try. And I get good response from the people who follow me on Twitter.
There's no way that you're trying. You're just throwing this stuff out there without any regard for anyone's safety.
All right, what's the problem today, Ralph? What has caught your attention?
Is there a keyboard symbol for fingers crossed? Because it seems like there should be. Not joking. Wouldn't that be useful?
Now, what
the hell? Tweet.
What the hell is wrong with that? I stand by that as a legitimate question. Shouldn't somebody have invented that by now?
No!
It would be useful.
How often are you saying fingers crossed?
Especially in social media, it would be nice to have something that would represent
that
sentiment.
Tweet.
So if you tweet, gosh, I hope my team wins tonight, that's not enough. You have to hit the fingers cross symbol on your keyboard.
Yeah, that's
there
sort of
are
lame.
Times where that would be useful.
That's
yes.
sort of lame.
It's pathetic.
Like a little like smiley face. I mean, there are emoticons sometimes can be helpful. I'm just surprised that one isn't out there.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean. If we're ever doing favorite song lyrics from the 80s, put me down for I've got blisters on my blisters.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I heard that over the weekend, enjoyed it very much. I thought I would share that.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! No one asked you. No one asked you, what's your favorite song lyrics from the 80s? No one asked you. You can't say, someone asked me this question so I can answer it. No, you have to wait till someone asks you. Finally, my pink sneakers, gloves, and towel thingy are fashionable again. Hashtag NFL.
See, because they're wearing...
Yeah, right. It's a tribute to breast cancer survivors.
Awareness.
Yeah.
And then,
I was saying, I've been wearing that for years, and now everybody's
now
wearing it.
Fashionable.
See? Come on. Can't you get it, man?
Oh, it's not a problem of not getting it.
We get it.
Yeah. And we don't need towel thingy either. Towel suffices. I know what the towel is that's hanging off his belt. It's a towel. It's not really a towel thingy. It's just a towel.
Too many technical terms for you, Ralph?
I just feel like when I was a kid, September lasted forever. Now it's here and gone in no time.
Thank you, Beer Mug. I appreciate the courtesy laugh. Tweet.
He's laughing at the horror of it.
Yeah. Wow.
See, because September's a thing that Subway made up.
Right. Now it's already Anytober. Like, where does the year go?
Tweet.
What if Breaking Bad goes on after tonight, but we all end?
Come on.
That's not even trying. That doesn't make any goddamn sense, and it's pointless.
Come on. Admit that was stupid.
In retrospect, it's not the tweet stupid. I'd like to be remembered for.
Well, think twice before you tweet.
Thanks for that tweet.
On his deathbed, I bet Steve Miller will finally admit rhyming justice with taxes was a bitch move.
I don't even know that song.
Let's take the money and run.
From 77?
I think 76, 77, yeah.
Bean is really covering the late 70s and early 80s.
Boy, the retroactive tweeting is just out of control.
Tweet. Bean!
I didn't have Twitter at the time that album was out, sorry.
In D.C. now, and tempted to recreate Harry Truman's famous photo prank where he made it look like the Washington Monument was his penis.
Thanks for that tweet.
How does that not hit your sweet spot, Kevin? You love the penis comedy. Come on.
Thanks for that tweet.
Did I miss the announcer meeting where we must have been told Jaguar is now pronounced Jaguar? Hashtag NFL.
Doesn't that drive you guys crazy when they call them the Jaguars?
I don't care.
No.
They call them the Jaguars. No. Why?
Who gives a crap?
No. Not nearly as annoying as when you say Arctic monkeys instead of Arctic monkeys.
Thanks for that tweet. Bean!
I am currently all out of tweets, but have a new shipment arriving over the weekend, and we'll have some more for you then.
Why would you tweet that? Don't give yourself applause.
No.
You can't do that.
No! Honestly. No, you don't do that! You don't do that!
If you can't think of any tweets...
You don't tweet!
Don't tweet!
That was
just
my
don't,
tweet.
But I'm saying don't tweet that.
And I stand by it.
Thanks for that tweet.
If there's a shipment of tweets coming to you, we need to hijack that truck.
And set them afire.
And run it off the road.
We really are out of time, guys. We got to go.
I wish you were out of time.
106.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:55.
Sally Cook from Pasadena won her way in to see 30 Seconds to Mars at the Hollywood Bowl this Saturday night. And then again on Monday in the Red Bull Sound Space right here at K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up. Details at K-Rock.com. You're going to start singing that cup song in a minute here, Ralph. What's going on?
Oh, just...
I like beats!
Enjoy the music.
I'm a drummer.
Let's get in touch with my inner Bobby McFerrin.
Okay. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday.
Just in the other room talking Flyers hockey with Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
it's a new movie, right?
Sometimes this job has its advantages.
1 second, you're mired deep in bean hell.
Tweets, exactly.
It's crap.
And then it's as if God saying, it's all right, my son. He lifts me up. He lifts me up from my depression, and he gives me an opportunity to hang out with Rob Zombie and talk Flyers. Good times. Yeah, Broad Street Bullies is a film project he's currently working on.
Love it.
I can't wait to see that.
So you're going
to
put you in it? You're going to get a role?
I'm going to start pandering. Yeah, I'm going to start begging at some point. I can play Barry Ashby's oncologist or something. That means nothing to you guys. But
no,
in Philadelphia right now, they're laughing their asses off.
They don't get this.
What?
Yeah.
We lost our Philadelphia affiliate?
We never had a Philadelphia affiliate.
Oh, crap.
Dude, we are barely heard in L.A. Come on.
This whole time, I thought everybody back home was listening to me. Damn it. Let's talk showbiz news. The big story I guess everyone's talking about is the fact that the Jenners are splitting up after 22 years of togetherness. Bruce and Kris Jenner calling it quits.
The only thing wrong with that story is the 22 years of hell that he must have suffered through.
I can't imagine. But it really must be the past
the past, how long has Kim been a celebrity? 8 years?
Past seven years?
Probably so, yeah.
Those must have been the
probably.
Worst ones.
Probably.
The other one, I'm sure she was hell to live with, but yeah. She was probably manageable. And now it's just must be out of control.
Yeah. Poor Bruce Jenner, though. He looked at those women who were held captive in that house in Cleveland for 10 years, and he thought, man, I wish I were them.
Oh, it'd be so great to be.
So lucky.
Behind that locked door.
No Kardashians.
This shrew. He was the bird in the gilded cage. But now he's out. Living on his own. By all accounts, could not be happier. As you can imagine. Interesting side note. No prenup in their relationship. So there may be a hotly contested, hard-fought divorce battle between who gets what money. Apparently, there's about $125 million between them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That they've made that much.
Bruce, at 63, will be legally entitled to a hefty part of the Kardashian brand's fortune made from their E! Television show in the entertainment empire. Now, somebody sent me an email and said that he's worth $100 million, so she's going to get all the money. But I don't think that's the case now. I think at one time
either.
He was, because he had the endorsement deals with Wheaties and he had an aviation business. But I believe a lot of that money has gone by the wayside. I think primarily.
Unless he invested in real estate and things like that we don't
perhaps.
Know about. But.
Anyway, just some guaranteed pain for Chris. That's all I care about.
Sure.
As long as she's unhappy for an extended period of time.
And Bruce will find another nice lesbian woman to settle down with, right? So he'll be fine. They'll be happy, right?
How dare you, sir. There was a shot of him. He was doing some racing event over the weekend, just hanging out, surrounded by, like, smoking hot promotional girls in short shorts and high heels. He's
going to
be fine.
Oh, I'm so happy I'm out of that house.
You know what? None of these women are drunk and yelling at me about our 17-year-old daughter posing in the bikini. No one. Not one of them. Good for you, Bruce. Simon Cowell may not be winning Father of the Year award anytime soon.
Really? Because I thought that would follow.
Or Boyfriend of the Year, for that matter. Us Weekly Magazine said he had no plans. Says he has no plans to be in the delivery room when his girlfriend Lauren Silverman gives birth. No plans whatsoever.
There are a lot of men who just don't want to have any part of that magic.
I didn't. I hid.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You coward.
I mean, I was in the room, but I didn't want to see that.
But you were in the room with her, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, he said he's not even going to be in the room.
Oh. It's because he's not going to be in the country.
He may not be in the state. Yeah.
He says, she'll never find him again.
Here's his charming quote. You don't want to go into the kitchen while they're making your dinner.
That's nice.
He's charming.
He is charming. Yeah. That's nice.
Meanwhile, to celebrate his birthday, Simon had a very busy 54th birthday with his ex-girlfriend, Terry Seymour. Word is they drove into Beverly Hills together, had a lovely romantic dinner, and then met up at his mansion a little bit later. That's Terry Seymour, the woman he's not having the baby with, celebrated his birthday with. I guess you don't want to be in the restaurant when they're making your dinner either. But
So he wants to be very near her vagina, not so much his girlfriend.
Apparently so. While we're talking about vaginas and babies, remember the Duggars? Familiar with Michelle and Jim Bob Duggar?
And there are 23 children?
Oh, is that TV show?
19 kids and counting.
Oh, only 19.
Only
Sorry.
The 19 kids. They are trying for number 20.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. That's necessary.
Yep.
That's good.
Michelle, who's 47.
That's a good instinct.
Oh, wow.
And grandmother of three, says she's looking forward to baby another 20.
Do you think they'll ever stop on purpose?
No, they're all about God's will.
Yeah, there's
no
way.
They're just going to stop when she dies.
That's right. When God wills her to stop having babies, he'll smite
her. And they've had at least one pretty high-profile
miscarriage,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it's her body's already fighting back.
She's in her late 40s, still trying to have kids. It's just that's not nature's way.
Right.
That isn't good for you.
But they're shooting for another, which is great. Good for them.
That sounds unnecessary.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These people were all born on today, October the 9th. Sharon Osbourne, 61 years old today. Kevin called her ugly once
again. I did not.
Hideous blow pig, I believe, was the term he used, Ralph.
I believe it was. 61 years old today. Tony Shalhoub is 60. Scott Bakula, 59 years old. Guillermo del Toro is 49 years old. PJ Harvey celebrates her 44th. Nick Swardson, 37 years old. And Brandon Ralph, he was once Superman.
Probably thought, this is it. This is my rocket ship.
Now, everyone, buy me the Lambo.
That's right.
Give me the mansion.
That's right.
I'm going to be Superman, everyone.
Superman.
Now he's at a supermarket. He's boxing canned goods. He's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, this is Rob Zombie wishing you a happy Halloween.
Is that me? Is it my turn?
Go! Musician and filmmaker and the man who brings us the Great American Nightmare at the L.A. County Fearplex in Pomona. Oh, scary. Rob Zombie joins us in the studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey,
welcome back, my friend.
How's it going there with no pants on?
It's going fine there, man, with no pants on. So you were saying it was April the last time you were here.
Yes.
That was probably when Lords of Salem was coming out,
I believe,
right?
I was here right before it opened.
All right, and now you're back for the Halloween season.
Pimping something else, that's right.
Got a lot of stuff going on. How often do you make it to Los Angeles from your new home in Connecticut?
I'm here, it seems, about every 2 to 3 weeks, so it's like I never left.
Oh, that's quite often.
That's too much back. That's too much flying.
Yeah, no, I'm,
who does the farming? I mean, come on.
Farm people.
I can see you're involved heavily.
So let's talk Halloween.
All right.
Great American Nightmare, we're going to get into in great detail here in a moment. Was Halloween a big thing for you when you were coming up?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure it was for everybody. Every holiday is a big thing as a kid, as long as you have to get off from school.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter to celebrate anything.
No, but what, did you like it more than the others? Like, I like 4th of July best because I like explosives.
I like everything. I mean, obviously, you liked Christmas because you could rack up some stuff and make some money that you could, you know, off your grandparents or something. But yeah, Halloween's the best. I mean, it was the perfect time for trick-or-treating until the razor blades popped up in the candy apples and then it was all over. And
I stopped trick-or-treating like 2 years ago. Yeah. You know, I was starting to get funny looks.
Well, I lived in one of those neighborhoods where it was like, okay, now they can't trick-or-treat after dark. There has to be this many adults. It became like, forget it.
Well, now a lot of towns, and by the way, I think that razor blade thing is way overblown. I think it's largely urban legend. I think maybe it's happened once in history.
One kid cuts his tongue and we all have to suffer.
Right.
Right. But everybody's convinced it happens in every neighborhood every year now, and it just doesn't. But I think a lot of neighborhoods now, they take you to the school or the gym or a mall or something like that. You can't even go door to door, which is kind of bogus.
Yeah, when I lived in Manhattan, it was funny watching little kids trick or treat and they just sort of go from one Korean deli to the next looking horribly disappointed, like, you know, coming out with, like, I don't know, some kind of bruised mango or something.
Do you remember any Halloween costumes as a young Rob Zombie?
Yeah, my costumes, I always wanted to make them myself, so they're terrible.
Good.
Horrible.
I like it.
And then there always be the one kid whose mom could sew really well. He'd be like, man.
Yeah, asshole.
I feel like an idiot now. I thought my sheet with two holes in it was going to rock.
So, Great American Nightmare, this is, I mean, this is your playground where you get to do anything that you think is cool in a maze, you get to do. Tell us what's new for this year, because I know you put an awful lot of your effort into this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first year, so the attempt is to do it every year here and grow it bigger and bigger and then do it in other states. And some, you know, we're getting offers from going to Australia and different places. Halloween's kind of exploding around the world, but whereas, you know, 20 years ago they're like, what is this Halloween you speak of? But yeah, this year I've done this at Universal Studios a couple times, done mazes, and this is basically that concept expanded. There's one maze for each of my films, and it's about 45,000 square feet of, you know, haunted houses, and then there's bands playing and there's wrestling and outdoor scare zones and all kinds of bungee jumps and
describe
all kinds of crap.
I have no idea. What
there's a bungee jump just by the beer tent, so really I don't see any liabilities
what
happening
wrong?
There.
Wait, is it a maze or is it a carnival? What's going on?
It's everything. It's for people with Halloween ADD.
All right,
you know, because you come out of the and we try to set it up because one of the biggest complaints was most of the Halloween events are, you know, you wait in line for 2 hours, go through one maze,
right. And that
line
takes
for two
six
more
minutes.
Hours,
right?
So we have it set up so. You don't have to do that. The mazes are all connected, so, you know, you kind of go from one to the next without having to keep waiting in line.
Is it true that when you walk inside one of them, somebody puts a bag over your head?
Yeah. This one's funny. I've never seen this done before, but the guy who came up with it swears that people love it. I haven't found anyone yet who will actually do it. But we came up with, we're not sure if we're going to call it the chicken or like the pussy door, but there's a door you can exit out of if you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So you can be humiliated in front of everybody.
And then everybody laughs and points.
Exactly.
Oh, so wait, do you go through it with a bag over your head with no holes in it so that you're blind? You just go
yes,
through it by feel?
Like what it is, we put the sack over their heads. They have to go through it completely blind. And, of course, there's stuff in there. And then there's stuff, if you chicken out and want to take the bag off, it's almost worse what you're going to see coming at you. So you'll want to put it back on. And then that one leads into the El Super Bisto 3D maze. So the bag comes off and the 3D glasses go on. And that one's all psychedelic and trippy. And then that one, once the 3D glasses come off, then you go through the murder ride. So it's
the murder ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of a fun jaunt through the history of serial killers. So, yeah, it's sort of – first we screw up your mind, then we screw up your eyes, and then we just, you know, make you feel bad about life.
So you – there's some guy – I saw the video, by the way, promoting this. We should actually play some of that tape here in just a second here, Kevin. But I saw the video, and you got Pogo. You got Pogo the Clown.
Was he in
jumping
there?
Out at people. John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah.
Pogo
well,
the
yeah,
Clown
he's
jumping
in the,
out at people, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the murder ride with, like, Richard Ramirez and Charles Manson and – Lizzie Borden and Jack the Ripper and everyone
else. I
just
like something. You have something called the murder ride.
Yeah.
You got me there already.
I wanted to beat Disney to the punch.
Rob Zombie is here. The Great American Nightmare is happening Thursday through Sunday. It's going on starting this weekend. 15 nights of pure terror. It's going to be at the L.A. County Fearplex in Pomona. Here, listen to this. This will tell you more about it.
The ultimate Halloween event from the mind of Rob Zombie. Spectacular haunted houses. National music acts performing nightly. Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare. L.A. Fearplex, Pomona. If you're scared easily or offended, go to a amusement park.
What kind of amusement park?
Exactly. We want to talk about the acts that are going to be playing. Like I said, 15 nights, musical entertainment is part of it, along with the three mazes. We'll talk more with that. And about the tour that's just announced of Rob Zombie going out with his old friends in Korn. All
yep.
of that and more with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Cameron. Rob Zombie in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is back in town for the Great American Nightmare happening at the L.A. County Fearplex in Pomona. And that opens up when? That opens up tomorrow night.
Yes, on the 10th is the opening night with our big red carpet celebration.
Now, one of the things that you're doing that's cool, besides the three mazes that you told us about, is that major music artists are going to be performing every night. So you get a concert and you also get the mazes, and it's all for one low price, right?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Because a lot of people seem confused that it's sort of a music event. But
right.
It's really the attraction is all the haunted mazes. The music was sort of just an added bonus because I figured that sometimes, you know, you go through the mazes, but you don't want to go home, so... can, you know, get drunk and watch bands and hang out, make it a whole night. You know, you don't have to just do the one thing. But the bands are, I mean, they're all different acts for different nights because I figured, you know, everybody likes Halloween, but everybody doesn't want to listen to the same type of music on each night. So you can pick and choose based on that. But yeah.
And you're playing one of the nights?
I'm playing November 2nd. There's like an old school punk night with like Vandals, TSOL, Dickies are playing. Then there's another night with like Andrew WK. And then there's like an electronic dance night with artists that I have no idea who they are, but I'm not even going to pretend, but I'm told that the kids love them.
Listen to this. Real Big Fish with Goldfinger on one night.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, did you say Real Big Fish?
Word.
And Goldfinger.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so
for some old school OC ska fans, they'll love that.
Yeah. Awesome. We got Mexican wrestling one
Lucha
night.
Libre USA yeah. Wrestling with Metalachi. That's on Sunday, October 20th. You've got The Used playing one night. You got Ozo Motley, Cottonmouth Kings. 303 is going to be tomorrow night. This is pretty awesome. Let's give away some tickets to this, by the way.
Let's.
If you want to go to the Great American Nightmare, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take five winners, starting with caller 20. And again, Rob Zombie is going to be there along with Eagles of Death Metal and Power Man 5000. That's going to be on Saturday night, November the 2nd.
And, then and 45 Grave. Right. We put 45 Grave on the show, Grave, yes. Too. Very excited about that.
And then you're just going to fold right into the little tour with Korn the next night.
Yeah, next night after I play and at the Nightmare, which is the closing night, I head to Reno to start the Night of Living Dreads tour with Korn, which...
That, never a break
that,
for you.
That name was their idea.
You really have to point that out.
It's just... So silly. I don't know whose idea it was, but it wasn't mine.
What do you think, Rob, about the fact that I can go on YouTube right now and watch any of your concert tours in their entirety from the past?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's great for the fans. I don't love it because I like concerts to just end and be forgotten in a weird way. I don't know why.
Well, I guess, remembered.
I like to just experience things and then move on and forget about it. But actually, over the summer, we made a concert movie because I'm actually in town editing that together too. And because I thought, well, I should, you know, before we all fall apart and can't play the show anymore, might as well get one good one on film. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it is what it is.
Can you slow down? You're making us feel like slackers. I mean, come on. Take a break, for God's sake.
I'm almost done with my cup of coffee. After that, I'm just going to hang out.
Rob does not take breaks.
Yeah.
All right. Before we let you go, we haven't talked about hockey at all. And I know you're our number one hockey friend fan. Who do you like this year? I know the season is way too early to see what's going to be in store. But who are you
loving? I only care about the Flyers.
You only care about the Flyers. Well, you don't Broad even Street, care about the Kings anymore.
I don't care about, are there other teams other than the Flyers? I'm not sure.
Look at this.
Says a guy trying to make a movie. That's
what
how it
a
works.
What a turn of events, though. You used
Look,
to be
Look, man,
such
Philadelphia
a huge
is a
Kings
tough
fan.
Town.
You don't want to get beaten up?
Exactly. I bleed orange and black, my friend.
Okay.
I'm going to bleed another color if I don't.
Can we ask you that question after you make the movie?
Yeah, then we can talk.
Okay.
All right. Rob Zombie is here. Great American Nightmare is at the Fearplex in Pomona. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to greatamericannightmare.com. It's only $30. You get all three mazes, and you get the great live music, too. It's a pretty cool deal right there.
A lot of stuff down there.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, it sounds like a big time.
Big setup.
And then you're on the road with Korn. If people want to go, you know, like Sioux City, I mean, Casper, Wyoming, Rapid City, South Dakota.
I'll tell you, man, one of the best shows we ever played in our lives was in Casper, Wyoming.
Is that right?
Well, people in L.A., you know, they get everything. They're jaded. Casper, Wyoming, the kids will literally go, no one has played here since, like, the, you know.
I was born.
The prize cow show that came in 12 years ago. I'm like,
you feel like they appreciate it more?
Well, they'll say, yeah, Reba McEntire played here 12 years ago. Something weird like that.
Hope we can outdo her.
Yeah.
Well, it's always great to see you, Rob, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, man.
Steve Aoki visits the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Very much looking forward to that. What a crazy life he has. I think you need his life, Kevin.
I agree.
I'd love that.
I'm not sure I would live, but I would like to try it.
Adam Carolla has the world's most popular podcast. That's why he gets such awesome guests. He's going to be tonight at the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles. Check this out. Ron Swanson himself, comedian actor Nick Offerman, is going to be there. First come, first serve. Doors open at 5:30. Show starts at 7 o'clock. Go to adamcarolla.com for details. And then on Tuesday night, October 22nd, at the Pasadena Ice House, Rich Eisen is going to be Adam's special guest. How fun is that? Hey, Spam, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, get it on.
Real quick, before we get into This Week in Rage, I watched your eBay Motors video yesterday of the Lamborghini that you test drove.
Yeah.
A $450,000 automobile.
Aventador.
Is any car worth $450,000? How much better than a $100,000 car can it be for reals?
$350,000 better.
I think that math works out.
Five times better. I cars aren't like wine. Like, we know that you could get anything from Trader Joe's for $9, and if you blindfolded us and everyone we know and poured a bottle of Chateau Lafite into something that was from the 40s and was $20,000 a bottle, we would probably like the $9 bottle that we got from Trader Joe's better, right?
Most likely, yeah, right.
Cars aren't that way.
They're not.
They're the opposite. You get in, you can tell the difference. A loaded Audi is $100,000 these days. If you think about it, I mean, the top of the food chain at Audi is $100,000.
Right, but that's my point. That has to be the high end of what you can really appreciate as a car. Like, how much better can it really be than that?
When you fire it up and there's, you know, a, I don't know, 5.5 liter V12 that's naturally aspirated, meaning no turbo, no supercharger, and the thing sitting just behind your head, just the cost of getting the engine behind your head, and you fire that V12 up, and it's, I don't know, 640 horsepower, and just the sound it makes when you push the start button, you realize, oh, there's where the first $175,000 went.
To put my head right in danger.
The only problem is don't cruise around town in the $450 Aventador when you're in the middle of your Fund Anything campaign.
Right. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
Corolla, you want shekels from me and to see you doing a donut in your Lamborghini in the parking lot of Costco? Come on.
I was wondering if you were going to take your $1.5 million you raised allegedly for your movie and just buy three of those, one in each color.
Well, I'm getting them pretty well optioned, so I'm only going to be able to get two.
Oh, that's too bad.
Gotcha. Too much.
All right.
All right. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the podcasts and live stuff upcoming. And it's time now for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with number three and work my way up to number one. I got an invention. I think this thing's going to work. Bean, you're not going to be a fan. Kevin, I think you're really going to enjoy this.
All right.
You know, my dog, Molly, she's still around. She's still costing me thousands of dollars. And she's now on the chemotherapy. And she takes her chemo pills. This is just after she gets her insulin injection.
Right.
And, the only good part about having a dog that you sink about $4,000 a month into is looking up at your Guatemalan nanny and going, how deep in the ground would this dog be if she was from your village? How far gone? How many years ago would this dog be in the ground?
And your Guatemalan nanny is thinking, how much money is he sinking into that dog and paying me?
Well, she's usually thinking, I don't live in a village, asshole.
Well, there's that.
But I like to say village anyway. Makes it more quaint. So I'm giving her, she's got to get the chemo pills, but of course she ain't eating the chemo pills until
right.
you put them in. Now there's a new invention. They're little meat pockets. You buy pockets. This is officially, hey, we're out of problems. Maybe the terrorists were right. Hey, third world, one more reason to hate us. My wife buys a bag of pockets that are made out of beef, and you put the pills in them, and then
that's
the dog
right.
eats these things.
Awesome.
Right. Pockets. Yeah, very popular.
And I thought, all right, that's good. That makes sense. And then I thought, wait a minute. Where's my pockets?
Right.
You know
we have
mean?
To take like, crappy medicine.
I don't want to eat that crappy multivitamin. That thing doesn't taste good. I don't want to swallow that thing. Brussels sprouts. I know they're good for you, but I'm not a fan. Where's my meat pocket? And then I thought, why limit it to just food, you know? I mean, I don't want to do my taxes, but if they're a covered meat, I think I'd get to them.
I don't know about that one.
Oh,
but
come on, dental instruments? Hey, get that out of my what? That smells savory. Why isn't that in my mouth? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do.
I do meat pockets for people.
I'm pretty there sure you're on your own, but all right.
Not so sure about that.
All right.
All right, next one. Saw this at my podcast. You get the lone ant, the one ant by the sink.
Right.
You're completely alone.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the trail of ants, but then there's the lone ant.
Yeah.
And you look at it and you go, what the hell's that guy doing? Broken from the pack, man. That guy, he's roaming the Badlands by himself, you know?
We got now,
regular,
do you have more,
Lorenzo Lamas over here.
Do you have more respect for that ant or less?
Oh, I start to think about it and then I go, uh-oh, he's a scout.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go, I got to kill him. And then I kill him because I don't want him going back to the hole and going, hey, man, Corolla's got a whole thing of people pockets over there. Let's go.
He covers everything in meat. We've got to
get over there. Right. I don't need any of that. So I kill him. And then I realize, wait a minute, how come every lone ant that's aimlessly wandering around is a scout? But if you see a human being aimlessly wandering around, you go, well, that dude's crazy. You know what I mean? I see dudes aimlessly wandering around alone all the time. I don't think of them as a scout.
That's because they don't show up a day later with 3,000 of them behind them in single file line.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying, leave the lone ant alone. He's probably just a crazy outcast ant. Or maybe they found out he was a different religion, or it's a lesbian ant, and they're really uptight, and they kicked her out of the hole. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, but I'm just saying, that's a homeless ant. Leave that ant alone. That's not a scout. That ain't Flint McCullough. Okay. You got to watch Wagon Train, not in your demo. All right, and number one.
That's a great reference, though.
Bean knows what I'm talking about. Come on, Major Adams. Number one, Bean.
Yes, sir.
This is for you, buddy. I'm going to be in Seattle this weekend.
Oh, I can't make it.
Fantastic.
I'm sorry. I'm very busy.
He would love to meet you for lunch.
I'm so tied up.
I am playing the Neptune Theater, two shows in Seattle. Bean was invited to come out and be a guest on one of the shows at the Neptune Theater on Saturday night, and he said no.
To be a guest on your podcast?
On the show.
Yeah, live show in front of a bunch of people at the Neptune. I was. That's true.
That's right.
And he said no. You know why? Because it's not happening in his house.
I know, but Bean, come on, buddy.
Come on,
Adam,
Bean.
You love Adam.
Look, I do love
You've
Adam.
You've done this podcast. You loved it.
Look, here's my whole thing, is that you need somebody that the people who pay the ticket to see the Adam Carolla show are going to be happy to
see.
They
have that person. It's Adam.
That's right. You'll get a parsley on the side of my plate, Bean.
I hooked up your little friend Mike August with four or five other radio people in town who would be perfect to hang out with you, Adam.
Lesser known names than even your own, Bean.
Wow.
You can imagine that.
Well, Bean's a hell of a friend because here's what I know about Bean. He insists that you let him know when you're coming to town.
I know.
So that he can
let him know.
So that he can not do anything with you.
Yeah, so disappointed. By the way, how are the wife and pigs?
So, Adam, did it not work out? Were you not able to get a co-host for those shows?
I'll go guest list. That's fine. I'm a big boy.
Wow, you're a dick, Bean.
I'm not a dick. Look, Adam Carolla is a superstar. He gets up on stage. He's got things to say that people want to see.
He is a longtime friend of ours. He's asking you to do it.
And he reached out to you.
Right.
I love Adam. I would do anything for Adam.
No, you wouldn't.
But I won't do that.
Wow, you're like meatloaf.
Exactly. AdamCarolla.com, the Amalfi tonight with the great Nick Offerman. And then Tuesday, October 22nd at the Pasadena Ice House with special guest, the NFL Network's Rich Eisen. Good times. They'll probably both show up for Adam. AdamCarolla.com. Thanks, Ace Man. Talk to
you soon.
Thanks,
guys.
What happens when you combine Panera's love of salads with their love of whole grains? Delicious happens. The new roasted turkey harvest wheat berry salad with wheat berries, antibiotic-free chicken, and all the other fall flavors. Try it today only at Panera Bread. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Delicious happens.
Yum, mm. Great. Yum,
did
yum,
you
yum.
Say antibiotic-free chickens and all the other fall flavors?
Yes, I did. It might have...
The flavor.
Probably should have been turkey.
She said a lot of nonsense.
That's weird. Hey, next hour between 9 and 10 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll hook you up with two different 30 Seconds to Mars concerts. One Saturday night at the Hollywood Bowl, the other right here at K-Rock and the Red Bull Sound Space on Monday. Your chance to win between 9 and 10. Details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's crackolating?
Some folks have been complaining they can't make Friday nights to Hollywood Babylon. So Kevin Smith and I wanted to let you know we are doing a Saturday night show this week. Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. If you'd like to come out and join us, you can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com to get your tickets. But it's Saturday at 10 p.m. this week to give some folks who can't make Fridays a chance to come party with us. So please come out and
Fridays
join.
Fridays does seem... much more impossible because you got to work, and then Friday traffic blows.
But we do it late on Fridays at 10, you know, giving people a chance. But some people said they can't make it up from Orange County, wherever they're coming from, or they work on Fridays, or they're in the service industry, they're bartenders or waiters or whatever. So we're going to do a Saturday night show this week at 10 p.m. to give a whole new gang of folks a chance to come out if they'd like to see.
It's that Friday.
No. Once again, I made a point of saying Saturday this week. Saturday. Saturday night.
That should be a song.
Didn't never sell. Showbiz news. It looks like Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner separating after 22 years of wedded bliss.
Oh, that lucky bastard.
Bruce is free from the hell that is Kris Jenner. And congratulations, Bruce. We're all very proud of you for finally manning up and taking the step.
If you guys ever watch that show, occasionally I caught, you know, minutes of it, and he just gets straight abused.
Oh, it's just that he's got that hangdog look in his face. And it's just, I'm going to go fly my radio-controlled helicopter out here. Just don't bother me. Just like they wanted to be anywhere else but where he was every time he saw him on that show. So now he's free. God bless him. He doesn't seem too happy about it. TMZ's got some new video this morning of him being... confronting paparazzi outside a frozen yogurt place with his two kids, and they go their separate ways back to hell mom, and he gets in his car and he's like, go F yourself, he's just screaming at the paparazzi. It's very entertaining. So you'd think he'd be happier. I'd be kissing paparazzi, I'd be throwing $100 bills in the air, I'd be gold coins, I'd be like the guy on the float of the Mardi Gras parade. I'd be throwing beads out and everything. They'd be all sort of celebrating if I was Bruce Jenner. What do I know? Earlier today, we were talking about the phenomenon that is the Beatles, that people just won't let it go.
Right.
This thing struck me as well. Big memorabilia auction coming up this month at Julian's Auctions. A lot of show business and Hollywood memorabilia, including Marilyn Monroe's X-rays.
Really?
Yeah. For those of you who just can't get enough of Marilyn Monroe in the flesh, you want to see what she looks like on the inside. Marilyn Monroe x-rays going up for auction, including some doctor's notes.
Not ever.
All of it combined confirms, they believe, that she did indeed get some plastic surgery done on her famous face before she became a big movie star. They say she had perhaps chin implants and a nose job before she became the Marilyn we all know and love. They're expecting it to raise close to $50,000, the x-rays and doctor's note. A previous x-ray for Marilyn's chest brought in $45,000. Well, yeah, it's because it's her chest, you know. You look and say, oh, yeah, look at those bones.
I don't know that I want anyone's x-rays.
Reality show news. Steve Carell's working on a new series for Fox TV called Slideshow. It's his brainchild, apparently. It's a hilarious competition show pitting two teams of celebrities against one another, making them do challenges like a singing competition, dance competition, comedy sketches. What's so interesting about that, Ralph, you're asking? Well, they do it all while trying to cope with the floor, which is tilted at 22 degrees.
What?
Excellent. See, it's Slideshow. They're going to
be sliding.
Sliding. Why 22 degrees?
Is that
I don't know. Is that the comedy angle?
That's
the
sweet spot.
Is that the funniest angle there is?
Well, 24 is all right, but 22, that's hilarious.
Maybe that's just enough where you can sort of stand up, maybe. Any more than that, everybody would just fall down. You got no show. Any less than that, it wouldn't be interesting to watch you try to do things.
The scientific team in Sweden put that number together, did they?
Maybe. 22%. That sounds like a terrible show.
Yeah,
like
we put a bunch of people on a slidey floor, and 22 angle is a perfect angle for comedy.
We need to save this tape of us talking about what a terrible idea that is so that we can play it back when a Slideshow is celebrating its 10-year anniversary special.
When it wins Emmys.
Yeah, right.
And this is also a brand new reality show coming from the Henson family. Jim Henson's son, Brian, head of the Muppet franchise since his dad has died, is doing a new 8-episode series on the Sci-Fi Channel in which people will compete to make a brand new Muppet character. The winner will receive $100,000 and a job at the Jim Henson Creature Shop.
That's kind of cool.
Is it? Is it
really?
I think so. 8 weeks of people folding felt and putting half of ping pong ball eyes on things.
I'm not saying the show sounds good. I'm not saying the show sounds good. I'm saying it's pretty cool that somebody out there, not in show business, could create an actual Muppet that ends up being part of the team. That's kind of neat.
Do that off of my television,
so
please.
Let me know when that happens.
Right. And congratulations to that person. Do it in a warehouse in Pacoima and just leave me out of it.
I need Brand Felt! That's going to be the show.
Come on, I need a rod! A rod to hold this hand stat! Doesn't anyone have any clue? Where is the funny hair?
That's not a good show.
Now it's starting to sound good.
It's not a good show.
Now the show's
not a good
good
show.
How about this voice? Should I do this voice
not
for my Muppet?
Everything is interesting.
What if they have to build a new Muppet at a 22 degree floor angle?
Magic!
Now you've got something.
Book it! What's going on? What's going on in television?
What is going on?
However, no one's watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what you keep coming back to.
No, they are.
Right,
they are.
Oh, are they back? Yeah. Are they back? Because
well,
I knew you were very
concerned.
Well,
not as big as the first. Well, they had a big drop-off from the first episode, but numbers are high.
Because I remember you saying that you're going to have a talk with the TV viewers.
Yes.
So I just...
if we lost any more viewership, there was going to be hell to pay. But apparently The Blacklist and Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. holding very strong, two of the biggest successes of the new fall season.
Okay,
so
good.
I'm happy.
Both good shows.
I'm very successful.
Bitchin'.
No Muppets, though.
I don't care. I don't want to see. I made a new Muppet. Did you? That's what special needs people say at lunch. That's not a show.
Hey, look, I have a puppet on my hand.
No, you don't. It's just a sock. Some tapioca smeared on it. It's not tapioca.
It's not tapioca.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brandon Routh. He was Superman at one point. 34 years old today.
A brief point.
Not his fault. Not his fault. He did a great job as Superman. They saddled him with a dingy-looking costume and a sullen emo Superman character in that movie, but I thought he did a great job. And there's that classic great moment in that film, the one special, special moment where Superman gets shot in the eyeball. Remember that scene?
I don't remember that scene.
It's awesome. Guy goes, bang, pulls the trigger, and you see Superman just staring at him. The slow motion, show the bullet hitting his eyeball, and then just crimpling up and falling off of his eye.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
No, can't do that anymore.
Nick Swardson, 37 years old today. PJ Harvey, she's 44. Guillermo del Toro celebrates his 49th birthday. Remind me to tell you the story sometime about how Kevin chased him into a men's room.
How dare you? Very disturbing. I was doing that for someone else.
Scott Bakula, bleh, I'm Scott Bakula.
That's Dracula. Yeah, I think that's Dracula.
Oh, I always get those two confused.
Yeah.
59 years old today. Tony Shalhoub is 60. And Sharon Osbourne, TV personality, manager, all-around good gal. We like her enormously, despite what Kevin says.
No, I see.
61 years old.
She's the best.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
DJ Royalty joins us here in studio on the Kevin
Bean
Show.
I don't think that's his name.
No. I'm just saying. Oh. I'm saying he's famous and popular as a guy who spins records for the kids. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Steve Aoki joins us here on K-Rock.
What's up?
Steve, these are called headphones. You need to put these on so you can hear things. I know you're probably not familiar with them. How you doing, man? It's great to meet you.
Yeah, it's good to be on your guys' show. I mean, I've been listening to your show for years. When I actually lived in L.A., I was listening to your show a lot, but...
Well, we appreciate that. You did the right thing to stop listening. you were on Loveline, which is the show that's on the other end of K-Rock at night. And why did I just see a video of you caking Dr. Drew, throwing a full-size birthday cake into his face?
Once he said he was okay with it, then it had to happen. It just had to happen. You know?
I don't know if you've seen that video on YouTube of the
kid.
I have. The kid was like a mile away from Steve. Somehow, Steve's got a hell of an arm.
That was pure luck, but you know, sometimes I'm able to connect with
that
my fans
crazy.
Directly in the face. But
how far was he away for reals?
I don't know. I mean, we tried to measure it. I think it was like around 80 feet.
Oh my God.
But I was you know, on a stage and on another stage in a DJ booth.
So you were way up.
Yeah, I was really high, and they picked him up, and like the whole crowd was cheering. And if I didn't at least try, it
right.
wouldn't be fair. So I put my effort into it.
I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I really can't.
It was a direct hit.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that, and then I'm just so sad that there's no documentation. I'm like, I wish there was that camera angle. And then finally with this one, there was like his brother was filming from behind his head, so it was like the perfect angle of it coming down.
I had to watch it a couple times. I was like, this can't be real. You know,
yeah,
everything on the internet
looked like
faked.
It looked like a viral fake video, yeah. where did the caking start, though, Steve?
You know, I always bring new ideas to my show to engage with the audience. And say like 2 years ago, 2011, I woke up with this idea after watching a music video of these cakes exploding in people's faces in slow motion. And I wanted to do the same thing and play that song. So I was like, I'll play the song and then make that connection by caking someone in the face. It won't be so weird.
Right.
Because people see the video, it's connected to my label.
They'll get it.
Yeah, and then it just stuck. So just
now you're the cake guy.
It's stuck. So literally.
Now it's a miracle that Steve Aoki is here with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, because you will rarely hear a guy who works harder, works more days in a row than Steve does. For instance, starting tomorrow night, you're going to be in East Lansing, Michigan, right?
Yeah.
The 10 nights in a row you're going to be working. Las Vegas, then Atlantic City, then all over Texas, Austin, Dallas, Corpus Christi, Houston, then back to Michigan, then on to Miami. Your tour guide is trying to kill you. Your travel agent literally is trying to kill you. What is going on with this?
For DJs versus like bands, it's a lot easier because you have a smaller crew to be able to fly around, travel. You don't need to bring amps and guitars and drum sets.
But by night 7 or 8, don't you go, hey, I could use a day off?
Yeah, but you know, like let's say your set is only what, like 90 minutes to 2 hours?
Right.
So the rest of the day is traveling, and that's what's the hardest part is. Like doing this show is not a problem for me.
Right.
It's just dealing with like being on a plane or whatnot. But
I think that's our point, take a day off. Take a day off and stay somewhere for a night.
Take some days off. And I've seen you interviewed before, Steve, where you talk about how you literally are that guy that gets off the plane, gets into the car to go to the hotel or whatever, and you just instantly fall asleep. You'll take 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. You don't a lot of times even get a good full night's sleep. You just have to break it up throughout the day. That will kill you, son.
That's how I've survived. I don't know how, but like it's a kind of adaptative instinct that you have to learn to have this lifestyle. So
if you didn't do that, you couldn't do this kind of schedule.
Oh yeah, absolutely not. You know, because you're getting 3 hours of sleep a day for 2 weeks straight, and then you do that again on another tour.
Right.
However, the bus tours are crucial because then that's really when you can get rest.
You actually get rest on the bus tour because you don't have to stand in line and do all that other
right,
crap.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's a moving house as you go along to each city. So it's great. You don't have to like worry about waking up to catch that flight. You're already on the bus. My studio's on the bus. My crew's on the bus. And then we just take off to the next city.
Now, Steve works 250 to 300 nights a year, and right now he's got the Aokify America tour, and you have been kind of teasing because you've got some dates out there, but you've been teasing that there has been no Southern California date until today, and that's one of the reasons why you're here this morning, correct?
That's right. That's right. Actually, I haven't played an LA show all year, so the LA show is by far my most meaningful show because this is my hometown. And I wanted to make sure that when we announced it, it would be a big announcement, especially on your show, because, you know, this is Southern California listening right now on the Kevin Bean. So, yeah, we have a big show coming out November 15th at the Shrine. And I have an incredible roster of guests that are going to be coming up. And I'm not going to announce who they are.
Okay.
But we're going to get the tickets up on Friday, this Friday. They'll be up. You can get the tickets. You should get them right away before they sell out. Last year sold out. And, you know, I'm touring with Borgor, Waka Flocka, Pharrell's on about 4 or 5 shows. And yeah, I'm not going to announce who the guests are, but they're incredible guests.
And tickets are on sale right now as of this moment?
As of Friday.
So you're going to be able to go to aokifyamerica.com to buy the tickets. Is that correct?
Yeah, aokifyamerica.com.
All right, and the show is going to be at the Shrine on November the 15th. That is going to be awesome. Hey, real quick before we break and come back with more with our guest, Steve Aoki, when you do the Aoki jump all over the world, do you ever do it indoors and hit your head?
Not yet, but it's bound to happen.
Because I was thinking we have to get you to do a jump someplace here at K-Rock, but I'm just worried that none of our ceilings are high enough for you.
We got to do a jump together.
All right.
Yeah, we got to do a jump together.
All right. Absolutely. All right. Steve Aoki is here on the Kevin Beach. We got much more to talk about. Steve's amazing life and also his recent number one song here on K-Rock, the collaboration he did with our friends in Linkin Park. We want to talk all about that, too, when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. That's Steve Aoki along with Linkin Park, A Light That Never Comes, here on the world-famous K-Rock, a song that was unveiled in front of a live audience at the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo a few weeks ago, and it was a surprise to everybody there, Steve. Like, nobody knew you guys were even working together until that point, right?
Yeah, it was our big unveiling, and we only announced it during Linkin Park's set. Mike Shinoda at the last song was like, "Okay, everyone, there's a special surprise thing going on during Steve Aoki's set, so just get your get over there and check it out." And that was about it. But no one else knew.
Other than that, nothing.
It was tough, though. It was very difficult to not let people know that this was going on. And
of course,
because we were working on it all year. You know, we were working on this song. And
how'd you get together with them? What led to that?
I'd say like the easiest way to say is Twitter. Twitter was like our way of communicating at first. And then we started
just
sending
mutual fans. Is that where it started?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Mike for a long time, he asked me to do a remix for Linkin Park, and it just didn't work out timing wise. And then they had time to start writing new music, and I was in that perfect zone to start writing as well. And then I got a cabin in Mammoth Mountain, and I just focused on my new album coming out.
That's how you do it, Neon Future. You do that.
Yeah.
You just close down, keep everybody out, and just work your ass off until you get it done?
What I usually do is my process is I write a lot of different loops, a lot of different ideas, a bass line, stuff like that throughout the year. And then I kind of piecemeal it together when I have time, when I can isolate myself. Actually, bus tours work really well, but this one was great because then I got focused on other projects. Like, doing the song with Linkin Park.
Now that's going to be on their new album, or is it going to be on yours?
A Light Never Comes is going to be on Recharged, which is their new album coming out. And it's like, it was very interesting to work with a band And, you know, it's very different than working with another producer. You
I'm
know,
sure
like,
how.
You know, like I sending files back and forth like that.
So I'd love to know how your mind works. When you're driving away from here today and you're listening to the radio, anytime a song comes on, do you think, oh, I would do something differently with that, or I can see that that could end up being completely different than the way it is now and still be awesome? I mean, is it just, are you just taking everything apart in your head when you hear it?
You know, it's strange because when I'm in the studio and I'm writing a song, I definitely actually I don't write it to fit the radio. So it's because for me, it's I'm really writing it for the club.
Yeah, it's all about your live performances.
Right, exactly. So on this one, it's exciting to hear a song with a completely different structure than the usual like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. There's like a drop with no vocals and that kind of thing is going on. And it's exciting to like, you know, listen to it on K-Rock and be like, wow, this is actually playing on the radio. But then you're like, oh, it's Linkin Park. Everyone loves Linkin Park. But still, that you guys accepted that this different structure for the radio. And you know, I did have like lots of conversations with different people, especially with Red Food from LMFAO, about like how to crack into the radio code and you know, and all those things. And I'm like, I don't understand. I know there's a system there, but I'm just going to keep writing the way I write.
It used to be a lot more difficult. It used to be almost impossible because our audience would rebel. We would try certain things, you know, and then they'd all get, everybody would get upset. And then we'd go, oh, maybe not that one. But now it's, now the whole world seems to be, you know, electronic and it just seems to fit a lot more.
Yeah.
And you bring in those guys from Linkin Park and it just makes sense.
And by the way, really Steve, you'll love this. Your song was a number one song here at K-Rock. You know what bumped it out of the number one spot? Avicii's record.
That's crazy.
That's the world we're living in right
yeah,
now.
That's, you know?
It's your world.
It is your world. There must be other are there other DJs? Because I think of you as being about the biggest in the world. Are there other DJs that you still are a huge admirer of, maybe even in awe of, that are just so good you can't stand it?
I mean, tons. It's a really harmonious community. We all actually really get along. There's no weird beefs or cliques. And all the different genres of music, there's no like, oh, I don't like him because I don't like his sounds. Everyone's just like respects each other. So like, you know, from Skrillex to Deadmau5 to Calvin Harris to Tiësto, I mean, we're all like respectful and we all want to play each other's music. So if if they write something great, it's not like, oh, I got to like not support that.
Right.
It's like,
because they're
my competitor
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I want that for my set because it'll help my set out. And then at the end of the day, we're all kind of helping each other.
And I was curious about this, Steve, because I've never seen you live like Kevin has, but I have seen a bunch of your stuff on YouTube. And you play mostly unreleased music during your live set. And that's curious to me. People come to you because they want to hear something brand new that they've never heard before, which is so different from a lot of events that you go to because you want to hear the stuff that you're familiar with and already like.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like if you come to a show, you don't want to hear the same song that you've heard a million times. I mean, you'll probably hear from the openers or, you know, the resident DJs.
Right.
So if like you come to see my show, I want to give you something special, you know, and especially one of my records. So if anything, like on the Aoki Fly America tour, I'm doing a full Aoki set of production. Like all the new songs, teasing out the new songs from Neon Future that's coming out next year. And, you know, and then obviously the songs that people are excited about, like Boneless, which is a new single that came out, this Linkin Park collaboration. And Mike Shinoda actually makes a video appearance in the set. He does like, a really cool thing. You know, and I don't know. It's just like I want to make it more of like an Aoki experience.
Right. You can't possibly have time to check out any of the other DJs, though, can you?
Festivals.
At festivals. Okay.
Yeah
festivals, that makes sense.
Sure.
But other than that, you're just on the road doing your thing.
Yeah, but like, you know, yeah, it's true. It's like when you're not playing, it's hard to go.
Right.
Right. Unless it's like, yeah, it's a festival.
Especially since fans of you will know who you look, you know, who you are and make that a hassle.
I don't mind. Sometimes I'll jump in the crowd and like, you know, just wing it and then see what, you know, where it goes. It's kind of fun, you know, doing that kind of stuff too. So
This is the voice of Steve Aoki here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's our special guest this hour. He, by the way, has announced that he is going to be playing The Shrine on November the 15th. Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon. This is a brand new show. You have not heard about this anywhere else today. It has just been announced. Steve Aoki and special guest at The Shrine November 15th. Tickets go on sale through Ticketmaster Friday at noon. We're almost out of time, but I'm also fascinated with this. You're a guy who famously doesn't drink, doesn't do drugs, doesn't party. Is that a rarity in your world, or is that pretty commonplace for a lot of the big-name DJs? Because it's certainly hard to find people like that in the rock and roll world.
Well, I mean, actually, it is it's really common. It's, we don't just put it out there, you know. But if you imagine the kind of schedule that you have to maintain, it's actually ridiculously hard to party hard.
Yeah.
And
you
tour.
Die.
Yeah, you literally. I mean, at one point, I was drinking every show. And I was doing like this crazy run of shows every year, and I couldn't believe I survived. And then I just was like, I just have to stop.
Well, you look terrible. So. I mean, if that's what you're trying to get us, if that's what you're asking for, yes, it did. You did pay the price. But now you find that it's a lot easier because you're taking care of yourself. So I guess part two of my question is, so how disappointing is it to you to see how much drug culture has popped up around live DJ sets and how it's, you know, kind of makes the whole EDM world look bad because of up kids dying at festivals and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's tragic and, you know, it's really, really sad when these things happen. I think at the end of the day, it's just about education. When the first thing I think about is like, how can we educate people to be safer and be more responsible? So if they end up deciding to do something, they know that there's a possibility they might die. And I think that if more people knew that, it would change, you know, the whole course of how people look at taking, you know, substances and whatnot.
How can that message get out there? Because you can't exactly say it. You can't exactly get up before your set and say,
yeah, yeah, of course
people
not.
Listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it down. Don't take it.
That's like, I think that's the one thing we're trying to all figure out. Is how to say that in a way where people will listen and people will learn, you know, and it's not like you're force feeding kids
right.
this information because no one wants to be told what to do either,
right.
you know. They're going right. to do what their friends do, and if their friends think it's safe, then they're going to do it, you know. So as long as like some kind of information is getting out there, it's just got to get out there.
Right.
But
right.
people like to hide that information because they just are like, well, it's bad, so just like, it's bad. Just don't talk about it.
And people
it,
think they know? Look uncool if they suggest maybe don't do the drugs, too. And that's ridiculous. Absolutely. I can't – you really do have one of the best jobs in the world, Steve. I can't imagine what the rush is like for you when you're up on stage and you're able to, with the music that you're putting together, you're able to see tens of thousands of people that are just in front of you just going wild. I mean, you really do create such a frenzy. And that just – that must be an incredible sense of power and also just joy for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm addicted to touring. I'm literally addicted to the constant engagement I get from with my fans at every show and meeting all these different cultures and people and, you know, ethnicities. And it just it's incredible.
Before we go, tell us about your app.
Oh, yeah. I got the Aokify app, and which is kind of what the tour is based off of. And it's free, and you could put little stickers on pictures and stuff and post it up on your Instagrams. And I do it all the time on my Instagram, at Steve Aoki. Check it out, because I caked Dr. Drew. I put that up yesterday. But, yeah, I just put...
Dr. Drew was probably like, you do what? No, this happens? You throw a cake at people?
I was surprised when he was like, all right, let's do this. I was like, really? All right. I love that, you know?
Beer mug, you have to get Steve to cake you. Imagine how much cake you could eat. Get your mouth.
I don't think that's what it's for, but all right.
Last question, Steve. Where's the world landmark that you still haven't been able to do the Aoki jump in front of? I mean, I've seen you like, you know, in front of the pyramids and stuff like that. Where do you need to go to get that shot?
Oh, you know, I kind of just, you know, I go to each city. I was like, where's the, like, the famous iconic spot? You know, like, I always do that. I'd say somewhere in Saudi Arabia. I've never gone out there.
Oh, okay.
Like Dubai, Abu Dhabi.
I'm surprised you've never been to anywhere there.
Yeah, yeah.
You've pretty much been everywhere.
That's my next frontier is going out there and doing some shows.
Well, they got the tallest building in the world there, I think, in Dubai, don't they? So you could maybe that's your spot.
You gotta I'll be from the top, guys.
From the top of the building.
Let's not try to commit suicide, Bean. What's wrong with you?
All right, we're out of time. The Shrine, November 15th. Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon for the great Steve Aoki. That is going to be an amazing concert, and congratulations on your success with Linkin Park. We can't wait for Neon Future, the new record, when it comes out next year. And it's a real pleasure to have you come by the Kevin Bean Show, man. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to Kevin Bean Show at 946.
What now? What's going on?
Stupid Ralph and his stupid marker.
Kevin's a thief.
Ralph comes in and loses his red marker about 4 days out of five.
Do I lose it? Or is it stolen?
He blames us all the time, and then once every blue moon. Today, I happen to use it to have Steve Aoki sign.
Have people stolen it? Has Beer Mug stolen it?
Yes.
Have you stolen it?
Yes. Okay.
So don't act like, oh, I'm so crazy.
Has it been three times in 3 years? Yes. So you are crazy.
Kevin, I'm going to tell you that you're the guy who got pulled over for drunk driving who says, no, it's the first time I've ever drank and then drunk. I swear to God,
never been pulled over for drunk driving.
No, but I'm saying you're that same kind of guy.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I think you are.
I get speeding tickets.
No, my point is you claim it's the first time you've ever sold the market.
It depends on how fast you're supposed to be going, I guess.
Okay. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the show. Being here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Wise does Kevin steal? Red Sharpies!
Why don't you just keep the Sharpie with you and just take it back and forth from your room to the studio?
Well, I do that sometimes.
That's a ridiculous idea.
Sometimes I leave it on my desk and I come in here and I look for it and it appears to be gone and I assume someone stole it.
But it was Steve Aoki.
He didn't. He put cake on it.
You know how the Asians are.
He put cake. Oh.
Wow. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean
goodbye, well, then
everybody.
Don't say it.
Goodbye.
What's wrong with you?
Look forward to Stryker in the morning next week. Hope you have a good time.
What I'm saying is no one would ever say that because there's nothing about Asians stealing anything. It doesn't make any sense.
Then why would you say it?
Because we all know it's the Jews. Again.
Completely unrelated
to reality. It's just out of context. It's just
what
funny.
Does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Well, all right. You know how our lawyers love context and comedy.
Oh, yes.
Yep. They get it. They absolutely get it.
Our lawyers are really funny. They have a great sense of humor.
For blacks.
They laugh a lot.
Oh. Come on, just
who else? Just get it over with, Bean. Just pick them all and get it over with.
Other ethnicities you'd like to besmirch
while
we're here?
I have nothing to say, but Beer Mug does a great Bean impression, I'll tell you that.
You finished?
I'm wounded.
I'm way finished.
All right.
Yes,
yeah,
you are.
You're right. You were finished after thanks for that tweet, Bean, as far as I'm concerned.
Before I get to showbiz news, how would you like to go to this very cool Halloween event, Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Yay!
They really do it up there at Universal Studios for Halloween. Some real cool stuff going on. The Walking Dead maze this year, AMC's The Walking Dead. The Terror Tram ride, an area of Universal Backlot that you've never been through before. You get to ride through that. Of course, you got walkers around, those scary people who just come out of dark shadows and scare you. Demons of the Evil Dead will be there. The Boogeyman. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know the Boogeyman was going to be there. I can't go now. The Boogeyman weirds me out.
That's a deal breaker?
Here's the thing. You can save up to $25 on killer deal nights, but you have to hurry. This event's going to sell out. Go to UniversalStudiosHollywood.com to get your tickets, or because Uncle Ralph loves you, I'm going to give away some tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. First four callers we'll get a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Ah!
That's how we do.
Are there any ethnicities you'd like to ban from Halloween Horror Nights, Bean?
Not at all. I love all people.
It's open to all people. All people should go, and all people are equal, and they should all have a great time.
Well said. Speaking of Halloween, you really
I'm
have
being
to,
told.
You really have to pull back on the Halloween spooks being just playing much. Way
we had a very
too
busy
much
show.
Today.
Very busy show.
Over day. And over
we had Rob Zombie,
again.
We had Adam Carolla. We had a very busy show.
We're just all so burnt out. You keep playing it over and over and over again, being constantly. You keep playing it.
We tried.
But we've had a guest every minute of the last 3 hours. What was I supposed to do? Make the guest just sit there and look at us while we play it?
Ugh. You're a failure.
All right, tomorrow.
On
maybe
every
tomorrow.
Level.
All right, tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. It's a definite maybe from Bean for you fans of Halloween spooks.
Find it yourselves and listen to it.
No, listen to it here.
That's what I mean.
Kevin and Bean show. Speaking of scary, Kris Jenner finally terrified Bruce Jenner enough to make him leave. After 22 years, the couple have officially separated.
What I was thinking about, Ralph, is that you watch that show and you see how much he gets beat down.
Yes.
Imagine what happens when the cameras aren't there.
But is there ever a moment where the cameras aren't there?
That's a good question, too. I don't know.
They released a statement to E! Saying they always have much love and respect for each other. They will always be the best of friends. But they are much happier living apart. You know, it scares me. And this may just be my cynical nature, having been beaten down by the powers that be at Hollywood for the past 20 years. I did read an article saying the split will play a major role in the upcoming ninth season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Of course it will. How could we not have thought that immediately?
Could this all be...
Of course.
...a giant freaking play for ratings, an attempt to get some eyes to tune into that
show? It could be either way. It could be real and used for ratings. Or it could be fake and used for ratings.
Doesn't bother me if it's real and used for ratings because, you know, obviously they're going to use whatever is at their disposal to make the most interesting show they can. But if this is just some sort of effing stunt to have a big rapprochement at the end of the ninth season where they get back together again or something, then that would be infuriating.
I'd be sad.
Something would be burned by me.
Okay.
Something would be burned to the ground. I don't know what, but something. This is fascinating to me. Talk about your fans. Jeffrey Katzenberger, CEO of DreamWorks Animation, told an audience this week at Cannes that he was such a Breaking Bad fan that he offered the producers to pay them for an extra 3 episodes. If they would do 3 additional episodes, he would pay them
really
$25 million per episode.
He
would write them a check for $75 million for 3 more episodes of Breaking Bad.
So the camera comes back on Cranston and he opens his eyes.
Now, admittedly, this was before Katzenberg knew what their plans were for the storyline.
Oh, okay.
But this is well in advance when he knew they just had an end date. He said, I will pay you $25 million an episode.
That can't have been a real offer.
It was.
Could he possibly have recouped that much money?
Here was his plan.
All right.
First of all, the last series cost about $3.5 million an episode to produce. So this would have been, they would have made more money. The producers would have made more money on 3 episodes of Breaking Bad than they perhaps made in the entire
run. Season.
Okay. Here's what he was going to do. He was going to take those 3 episodes and then make them a pay-per-view television event. He planned to charge viewers to watch the final 3 episodes of Breaking Bad.
Oh, thank God they turned that down.
Thank God they turned that down. That would have
I'm
serious. That too.
You
that
can't put the show on cable for 5 years,
right,
and then when you get to the last three, go, oop, now you got to pay for it.
You can do anything you want to do.
Yeah, but that would have been really crappy.
Yes.
It would have been shoddy.
And probably an enormous money-making enterprise.
Probably.
For Jeffrey Katzenberger. But I thought that was an interesting plan.
I hope that idea doesn't start circulating in Hollywood, and now that's going to be the way they start going with some of these shows, maybe, that don't turn it down.
Yeah. I hope so, too. I think we all hope so. Or whatever that guy said. And I got a great story here about Miley Cyrus, but I can't tell because we're out of time. All right,
you
tune in tomorrow. Miley Cyrus is in trouble with the Stroke Association. Because she made some jokes on Saturday Night Live about the fact that her tongue was constantly sticking out because she was having tiny strokes.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Having a mini stroke is no laughing matter, said the head of campaigns and policy at the Stroke Association. Around 46,000 people
in the UK alone have a mini stroke each year. 1 in 10 leads to a major stroke. And sticking your tongue out is not a sign of having a stroke, he added. It's a sign that you're a whorish douchebag.
Did he say that last part?
I may have misread that.
Oh.
He may have said, with the right care and support as well as compassion for those around them, people can make fantastic recoveries.
Okay.
Holy mantle!
But you can understand how I would misinterpret that.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Look them up for yourself. We're out of time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we have Michael Chiklis in the studio.
Oh, Chicky.
We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Ryan Getzlaff from the Anaheim Ducks on the program. And we have the star of Machete Kills, Danny Trejo.
Machete.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean. Star of this.